This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation. Hi, welcome to Geek and Sassy. My name is Jennifer Smith, and I'm here with the wonderful and the beautiful Miranda. How are you, Miranda?
I'm good. I mean, I don't know if I'm that wonder and beautiful, but I'll take it.
You surely are, because I said so.
Okay, I'll accept it.
So, I'm super happy to be recording with you again. It has been a minute.
I know. I feel like every other episode or every third episode, we're like, sorry, gang, it's been a minute.
Right, yeah. As soon as I said that, I was like, I feel like I've said that a bunch of times recently.
You know what I've noticed? And this, like, is a shout-out and a huge thank you to, like, everyone that has followed us because, I mean, what is it, almost 4 years now? Three? Four?
Three, right?
Three? I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, some days it feels like, what, we've been doing this that long? And then other days it feels like we've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
There's not a decline. It doesn't seem like we have a decline. Like, I think we've built ourselves a pretty good little community, and I'm appreciative that they understand that in life is just people in general, mm-hmm. and then the fact that we are both mothers that, our kids take a little bit of extra time sometimes, that they stick around. They don't leave us when we have to take a break because of those things. So, like,
and
it's
then
super awesome.
You know, I think we make up for it, and let's
call it spunk and sass.
That too, and the length of our shows are usually fairly decent, so I feel like you get, a good amount of us, even though you have to wait a little bit longer.
We're worth the wait, is what
you're
saying.
We are. So I think that it's worth mentioning that I'm pretty proud of us when it comes to what we've done with Geek and Sassy, because I love our show, and it made me fall in love with podcasts, and it has also opened me up to learn new skills relating to podcasting, which I never would have imagined myself doing when we first started. So I've taught myself how to edit the shows. And you have also learned how to do that.
I have. I've learned to edit. And not that my husband never took this seriously. Because, we joke around a lot. Like, John and Jerry don't listen to us.
Oh, yeah.
But we know why. Like, they are who we talk to all day long. Well, me not so much anymore. Right. But they are who we talk to, like, all the time. So why would they listen to their wives ramble for 2 hours about something that we've probably already talked to them about? But mine, like, I realized to what level, like, he truly supports me at Christmas, and I kind of cried, which you guys know I'm a crier anyway. But Jenny and I both decided, like, we're going to learn how to edit. Like, we're going to do this. And so I was talking to him about it, and I was like, having a lot of trouble, like, editing, like, my sound wasn't right, and I was getting, like, really pissed off, and I was, like, cussing, and I'm, like, texting Jenny, like, all these cuss words, and I actually have, it's not completely set up because there's actually some space and dedication that takes to go with this, but like Jenny and I now can actually be in the same room and podcast together if we want to.
Which
we got, like,
hopefully that might happen kind of soonish.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I'd like that. I got some professionalism going on, like some legit microphone and headset gear, and
nice.
Pretty excited about that.
It's so funny. Like, I've had the same headset for this whole time, like a $25 cheapo headset from Amazon.
Well, I had two. I had the same headset, like, this whole time. And then for Christmas, so there's headsets that when you're using the microphones, you have to use because, mm-hmm. It works a little bit different. So there's headsets that you use for when you're using the microphone. And then there is, like, headset that he got me for when I'm just gaming all the time. Mm-hmm. So, but my gaming headset is, like, really freaking awesome, and it even has cat ears. It's pretty cool.
Aww.
Has little kitty ears. It's the best thing in the world. I love it. So, yeah, I'm hoping my sound is a little better because I went back and listened to some of our episodes, and I apologize for my sound, but I've been having to record from my back bedroom with iPod-like earbuds, so it's not horrible, especially when you hear that I was doing it on a laptop and iPod earbuds. Mm. So
you do actually sound a lot better now that you mention that.
It's a pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I'm proud of us. I'm proud of us and our gear and our technical abilities, because we didn't collaborate when it came to learning like the software. We just
we learned, just did it. I think we learned different. Like I think we used the same avenues to learn, but I don't think we followed like the same tutorials and stuff to
right.
learn.
Right. Yeah. So, anyway, I think that's neat, and I'm proud of us.
I am proud of us.
And I feel like we should, like, freelance now, right? So, if anybody needs anything done, I feel like you want to start your own podcast, I don't know, want some advice. I feel like we're just sage now. You know, we have wisdom.
I like this. I mean, yeah, we went from me pestering Jenny and being like, well, actually, it went from Russell Sellers telling me over and over for like 3 months how I needed to have a podcast. And I was like, dude, I can't talk to myself for an hour. Like, that's just dumb. And then one day I'm like, hey, Jenny. And me hounding Jenny for like 3 months.
A little bit longer than that, but okay.
Well, it was like 6 months total, probably, of back and forth.
We did talk about it for a while.
We did, and I don't know. I wouldn't have. I'm glad I'd never thought of asking anybody else to do
this. Definitely, yeah.
It's and not important. No offense to any of my other friends, but like, I don't know. I think it strengthened our friendship too.
Oh, definitely.
So,
wow, we just got all in our feels for a minute there, didn't we?
All up in my feelings. Mm. Yeah, I did the Kiki challenge right there, which I was informed what that exactly meant by a 4-year-old.
Nice.
So yeah. I'm, like, really old at this point.
Yeah, you are. All right. Do you want to get started on this wonderful thing that we do?
I sure do. And my brain just went dead, and I was like, what are we doing? Oh, never mind. I know what we're doing. We actually have prepped this. Like, this prep. Like, we prepped.
I have notes, friend. Oh, and let me tell you about my notes. Okay. So, I know you do this, but I think me and you are probably weird when it comes to this, but I have a notebook. And I, like, write all my podcast shit down in it, right?
Yeah, we both have podcasting notebooks.
So I just have, this is my second one. So I just got this notebook not long ago, and I was taking notes for another show, and my pen ran out of ink. And I got really mad. I couldn't find any other pen. When I finally found another pen, I sat back down and started writing again, and it ran out of ink. And I'm like, just frustrated at this point, because I was like, where are the pens in my house? Anyway, every single pen that I've tried on this notebook would not write. And I'm like, not all of these pens are out of ink. There's just no way that that's what's happening. So for some reason, I have a notebook that you can't write in pen on.
Huh. Is it like the paper? Like the style of paper?
It must be. There's, I don't know if I don't know if this is like a defective like notebook in some way. Was it dipped in chemicals that doesn't allow ink? But I have to write in this notebook.
Well, you know, like when you go to sign like a receipt sometimes.
Yeah.
It won't write on the paper.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's.
I don't know. It was annoying, and I thought it was like funny and weird, because like who does that happen to? Nobody, but it happens to me. It's just a classic.
Well, no, because don't you remember when I lost my notebook for like 3 episodes?
Yes, I do remember.
So
we've both done that.
I have two notebooks, but I keep mine separately. So like my Geek and Sassy notebook is just Geek and Sassy. Like there's no other notes in there. Mm-hmm. Now I've like ripped a page out to like do something, but like there's no other notes in there. And then like my Lady in the Beard is a completely separate notebook, like on purpose.
Well, that's good. You need to keep them like that.
I would get confused.
Yeah. You can't be talking Geek and Sassy stuff over there. I can't be talking wrestling stuff on Geek and Sassy.
Well, I mean, you can. I just don't know as much about wrestling. So I'd be like, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Cool. people. I know names. Like, I know names. And then, like, I know UFC stuff, but I don't really know. And I know, like, old wrestling, but not, like, yeah. When your favorite person ever was big, that's when I really know.
Oh, yeah. That's everybody. Yeah. Everybody does that. All right. Let's talk about our reads.
We can do that. We can do that.
I've
been reading a lot, actually.
Yeah? Well, that's good. You start us off, then.
Oh, really? That was not my intent there, Jen. All right.
I'll go first, then. Because mine's not very long. I think the last several books that I talked about were Stephen King books with you guys. So I kind of, like, informally... Well, I guess I formally decided I was going to start, like, a Stephen King reading project. And
I like that idea. That's cool.
I'd already been doing it anyway because I was hooked on, like, this, like, rash of Stephen King books. But I decided to go back and read some older stuff. And so I read / listened to The Stand. And
I don't think I've ever done that one.
It's exceedingly long. It's a very long listen / read. But just like next level good. Like, it's post-apocalyptic. After a super flu wipes out the population. And so it's basically a survival story. And then you get the real Stephen King stuff with like some supernatural elements. It's just, it also does that other thing that I've talked about that I love when you meet characters separately and then all the characters meet together.
Yeah.
I love that in fiction. So that's one of the elements of this that I loved. But some disclaimers when it comes to this book is that when it was originally published, they edited a lot out of it.
Was there a reason for that? Was like
probably the length, because this the version I read was the one that he sort of re-released, and it's unedited. It had all the original stuff back in it, and it's
so like when they call it unabridged, basically.
But yeah, and if I'm being honest, I mean I don't know how much they cut out of the other publication, but this one could use some editing, you know. So I can see how. They might have taken some things out. There are some lulls in this book, but if you can overlook that, I think that the characters and the survival parts of it, I think will carry you through some of the lulls. But yeah, I mean it's not a perfect book, but it's very, very good. And they are, I think, like this week or last week, I think they decided to, they're going to do a mini series or a TV show for The Stand, I think at CBS. So.
I do remember seeing that, but I don't remember which one.
I think it is CBS because I did, not too thrilled about the last Stephen King project that was on CBS. So. But maybe it'll be better than I think. Anyway, the other Stephen King book that I read is also an older one, and it is called Thinner.
Now that one I have done.
You have read it. Okay.
Was that your first read of Thinner?
Yes. I've never read Thinner. I've seen that movie, that we like to talk about in the comics chat, but I'd never read the book, and actually it was better than I thought too. A lot quicker listen than Stand, obviously, but
oh yeah,
I like that story a lot too. It's about a man who gets a gypsy curse put on him after he runs over a gypsy with his car because his wife is giving him a hand job.
Yeah, that's
I think that's, it's funny to me. That
it is funny, but it's kind of like one of those things, like, you hit somebody because, how do you ever explain that?
You don't. You lie about it, which is what he does. You know?
Right.
But I think that's just such a nice touch that he didn't just hit somebody with his car. He hit them while he was getting a hand job. And I just find that delightful. I really do. But so he gets cursed with, you know, what do you want to call it? Thinness. He just starts losing weight. Like, no matter what he eats, he just withers away physically. And it's weird. I mean, it's a weird book, but you know, I liked it. Not as much as some of the other Stephen King that I've read, but it's worth a read. All right, but that's all I have. That's where I am with my Stephen King reading project, and I haven't decided on my next book. Do you have any recommendations?
My favorite Stephen King is kind of an unheard of book, because everybody, when I say it, they're always like, what? It's different, but it's called The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Have you read that one before?
I have not read it, but I know which one it is.
It's a quick read. Oh my goodness, I was trying to look up when that show was going to be on, and my new keyboard's a little clicky. But it's not a fast read. Like, if you audiobook it, I want to say it's like 5 or 6 hours long, because I recently re-added it to my Audible wish list, because I wanted to. It's narrated by Anne Heck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was like, I want to redo that, you know, reread that.
Well, maybe that could be a future episode of Geek and Sassy.
It could possibly.
All right. Well, what have you been reading then?
So the first book I want to talk about is actually by a local author. It's called Candy by Justin Woodward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Justin is Mike and Jessica, who own the Enterprise Phonetics. You know, Mike owns it. Jessica's his wife. Justin is actually Jessica's brother. So okay. It's like one of those small world, small little wiregrass community things going on here. And this book is a quick read as well. But it's about a girl named Candy Tran. And she actually starts hunting down serial killers. She's been told, like, you know, her boyfriend at the very beginning of the book kills a guy that they think is this rapist that's been let go from jail, this child molester rapist. And so he kills the wrong guy and actually kills his brother. Well, then someone sends these pictures and says, basically, we caught you burying him. You're going to come answer to us or we'll turn you in. And so she ends up going across the country hunting down serial killers. But it's not just any serial killer. She's actually hunting down what she is told and believed is like the government has taken Ted Bundy and put him, because they believe it's the they're telling her, like, oh, the government believes that the way that they were raised and the product of their environment is why they turned out the way they did. So we've taken these people, and they are, like, basically a clone of Bundy. They may not look like him exactly, but it's like a clone of all these, like, famous serial killers, and now they need to be taken out.
Okay.
So she's going around the country with her boyfriend and taking care of this. But there's some things that they start questioning along the way, and within good reason. And it's like the aftermath of how that all plays out and what is actually going on and who these people are. And, there's a lot of talk of, like, murdering and what people did. And I don't know, there's some pretty cool, like, chase/fight scenes going on too. Okay. I'm really hoping that he plans to continue this. Like, he plans to give us more.
Okay.
Because if not, it was ended well. But if so, it was done in a way where it definitely is left open to give you more. The Audible version is about 4 hours long. So, obviously, it's not a hard breed or anything like that.
And it's called Candy?
It is. It's called Candy.
Okay. That also might be a future Geek and Sassy topic.
Yeah, definitely. And he's got another one that I've started on called Tamer Animals. I forget which publication, but it's a pretty well-known publication. I actually just did a book review on Tamer Animals, which is also Justin's book. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too far into that one yet, so I don't really, I mean, I feel like because I really liked Candy, and then I had read a book of his several years ago, too, The Variant, which is, I think, I forget how he described it. It was like, if you like Stranger Things mixed with this, then you'll like his book. Hmm. I think you might like that one, too. But I really dug Candy, so I am now reading Tamer Animals.
All right.
Pretty awesome. The other book that I like completely finished all the way. Actually, I've read a few since Jerry's left because I mean, what else am I supposed to do? I read, it's actually my neighbor's cousin. I don't remember. Anyway, I've read a romance novel by M.K. Schiller called The Scars Between Us. And normally I prefer like my catnip when it comes to paranormal or when it comes to romance is like paranormal, mm-hmm. like tropes like that kind of mm-hmm. kind of thing. I like really dig vampires, werewolves, that kind of or like different or like dystopian, you know, things
right,
like that.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know,
witches,
yeah. right? Witches. I love witches. They're
yeah.
my favorite. Yeah. This one is not though. This one does have, like, what might be triggering for some people. It's about Emma Cooper and Aiden Sheffield. And Emma is just basically trying to fulfill her mother's wishes, dying wishes, by scattering her ashes in this little town in Texas called Lynx. And her mother has also asked her to go introduce herself to Aiden and to have Aiden go with her. Like, she leaves her request is that she wants Aiden to go to Lynx with her. She doesn't really know much about Aiden or why. She goes into this thinking that Aiden must be, like, a former love of her mother's. But when she meets him, like, he's really not that much older than her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, super hot. And former military, so she's, like, really confused and she doesn't understand. He's, like, really gruff, too, because he knows who she is when she gets there.
Mm-hmm.
But she obviously has no clue, so she's, like, really confused. And Aiden, by no intents and purposes, wants to go to Lynx for any matter. Like, he even says several times he would rather go to hell, like, literal hell, than ever go back to Lynx. But he ends up deciding to go with her, and apparently he's not, like, loaded, but he's also doing well for himself.
Well, they always are, usually.
They always are, but in this one, it's, like, a little bit more realistic. Like, they're not, okay. like, it's a little bit more, and they explain, like, where the money comes from. So, okay. like, it's explainable.
So not, like, Christian Grey type.
No, it's not, like, outlandish enough money like Christian Grey. I mean, it's decent amounts of money. For example, like, he's an amateur fighter. So, and you can make good money. Like, and his best friend, who is now his manager as well, has made him go, like, legit. So, like, stop doing, like, back alley, like, $400 barroom brawl fight things. Like, we're going to legitly do this. So, like, he fights in Vegas and you know, different places that, like, if you win, you make a decent-sized purse, you know?
Right. Well, yeah.
And apparently he's also good at poker, and he plays poker games sometimes that are, like, higher stake money than most people. So he's, like, he's doing well. And he's a former Marine, and he actually works and lives at a dog rescue. So, you know, I was like, I'm in. I'm in.
Okay, so let me get this straight. This guy is super hot, ex-military,
yep.
rich.
Well, doing well.
Okay, he's rich and works with dogs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All
he
right.
helps, like, rescue them from shit situations and
All
stuff.
Right.
right?
So he's not desirable in any way?
Nope, probably not at
not
all.
Not attractive at all.
Not attractive at all.
All right.
Honestly, the whole time I was reading this, like, the way they describe the way he carries himself and stuff, I really was picturing, like, Dean Winchester.
Oh, God.
No, well, like, because the way they were describing, like, his physique and, like, well, probably a little more cut than Dean Winchester, Spider. But, like, that's what I, for some reason, had in my head. And maybe that's just because that's, like, my type. I don't know. So. But that's, like, what I had going on. He ends up going with her on this trip, and along the way they learn a lot of things about each other. Obviously, it's a romance novel, so you know they learn a lot about each other. But it was tastefully done, because, you know, sometimes it's like, I just met him a day ago, and I'm going to blah-bitty-blah, you know, like, I don't like those, which I'll talk about one of those in a second, that I'm actually going to say bad things about. So, sex scenes were written pretty well, actually. There's some, like, emotional, deep moments in this, too. Because, like, he's trying to... He's healing from wounds. Pretty sure he probably has some sort of PTSD. But he, like, every stubborn former military man that, like, legitimately has it, doesn't want to admit that he has it. Mm-hmm. Kind of deal. Mm-hmm.
What did the chick look like? Was she perfect as well?
No. And for once, you know how usually they're like, I'm not cute, and I don't know why they think I am. Mm-hmm. No, she's actually supposed to be more defined. Like, she, I mean, yes, she's got, like, they very plainly say, like, obviously she has boobs, but apparently she has curves. Like, she says she's no stranger to food. Like, she's not supposed to be, you know, those, the big fad right now is making sure, like, they have to be big girls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not. Apparently she's, like, what you would consider as average today. Okay. Like, she's, you know, she's got boobs, she's got hips, you know, she likes to eat, she does not going to shy away from food, you know, like, but she's not, like, one of those, like, I don't know why people would find me attractive. Now, I think, like, she may say that, like, a time or two, but what female doesn't feel that way every now and then?
Mm-hmm.
I just hate, like, the whole, like, you mentioned Christian, like, Anna at the very beginning, like, I don't know why anybody would find me attractive.
Shut up, bitch!
You know, like... She just sounded more realistic to me, and she's obviously dealing with a lot, too, because, like, her mom's dead, her dad's dead, like, she has no money left because she convinced her mother, before she died, to use the money that her parents had set aside for her to, like, go to school and live,
mm-hmm.
to seek treatment, because she really wanted her mother.
Okay.
So, they're both dealing with some, like, emotional scars, and then as they travel on this journey, you also learn more about the mother and who the mother was to Aiden and why the mother wanted Aiden to be part of this venture for her daughter. And shit gets real in the end as far as, like, that's where the trigger stuff, well, there's other, obviously, PTSD trigger for some people, death could be. But towards the end, there's some, like, jacked up, like, real jacked up stuff.
So, like, okay, let me guess the twist of this book, right? So, they find out that they're brother and sister.
They are not.
And they've been fucking this whole time.
No, they are not. Because he, remember I told you, he knows who she is.
Right, yeah.
So, he would have never like, allowed it to go to that. Like, he even says something at that
point.
Well,
maybe he was lied to and he wasn't told the truth about
who
she was.
No, you find out exactly at the end. Because the whole time through the book, you know they're not brother and sister. But you're thinking something else. And so, yeah. But when they explain it all, you're like, oh, fuck.
Okay.
Like, right. It's bad. Like, there's, like, childhood abuse, like, horrible childhood abuse that gets discussed eventually at one point.
All right. So, trigger warned.
Yeah, trigger warned. You know, we have this big discussion about how usually I wouldn't do that for people. But I'm beginning to see more and more where some people may really need to know that before going into
it. Oh, yeah. It's not a bad idea. It couldn't hurt.
Well, it's not. And honestly, that it hit me in a way where I was like, there's only, like, a little bit left in this book. This is a really good book. I'm going to finish it because while that, like, bothers me, like, it wasn't happening at that moment, but they referenced to let you know that it did happen.
Okay.
So it's not like reading those horrible but yet good. Remember the Dave Peltzer, the guy that really did have horrible, horrible shit happen to him as a kid?
Yes.
Like his mom made him drink bleach, all that.
Yes.
Like I read all of those books when I was in like eighth grade.
Yeah.
And I cried through every single
one
of them. They were heartbreaking and gut wrenching and wonderful at the same time.
What was the name of that? I read that.
The
too.
Book one was A Child Called It.
That's it. Yeah.
Get that book.
That. Ooh.
And then there was The Lost Boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. So it doesn't like go into detail like those books did, but it very much when it explains what some of the things that happened, like you realize what happened and you get a little sick to your stomach. So.
Well,
so that one was
uplifting.
Fantastic.
Okay.
And that's what that book, and it turns out like there's some shit moments, but you realize like it also makes you realize like, yeah, just because someone is doing, because she's obviously financially struggling and he's doing well, but it doesn't matter how pretty you are or how well you're doing financially or, you know, that you got out of a town and joined the, like, it doesn't matter, like, all paths cross for a reason, and shit, horrible, horrible shit can happen to anyone. But it also has the story of how to get out. Like, there's a lot going on that makes it just, like, a really good book.
Okay.
Not the fact that it's just a romance novel. If you like cooking beans, they're good. They're good.
All right, what else you got?
I have a bunch more, but the only other one I want to take a second to complain about. So, okay. If you are going to write a romance novel, can we please, for the love of God, and this is entirely a separate book, can we please, for the love of God, not have the people meet and 6 hours later be screwing and 8 hours after that be engaged?
8 hours?
I don't know if it was exactly 8 hours, but it was like less than a day and a half.
Okay. That would be more than 8 hours, probably.
Probably. Well, I was saying 6 hours, and then 8 hours, and then, like, yeah.
So, okay. Well, why does that bother you?
Well, first, it bothers me because this was one of those where she's like, well, I'm a big girl, and I bet he doesn't like big girls. He's got all these models to pick from, and he's not, why would he pick me? Why would I be his cup of tea? Like, I just don't understand it. And he's supposed to be, like, Christian Grey loaded rich.
Mm-hmm.
And is just, like, all smitten with her. And he, like, demands that she go to dinner with her, with him, and then essentially, like, tries to get her off in the booth there.
Hot?
Yes and no, because, like, he literally just met her. And now he's shoving his hands down her pants.
That's true.
Right.
Was it unwelcome?
Yes and no, because at point she's like, you can't do that here. I don't know about this. Like, she's not saying no, but she's not really saying yes either.
All right, well.
If that makes sense. So I was a little like, really? Like, that's kind of gross.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, if she didn't want to, then it's gross, but.
Right. Well, she doesn't say no. She's just like, oh, we can't do this here.
So it's more
this
of like
can't
a.
Be.
Yeah.
This isn't right. Like, I just met you.
Right.
But at the same time, she's like, oh my God, this is great. Like, her inner monologue is like, this is fucking amazing. You know, like, she doesn't. Yeah. Anyway.
What's the name of this book?
It's
so we can
Closer,
never read it.
Closer by Alexa Riley. No offense to the ladies that are the. It's two ladies that make up the pen name Alexa Riley.
Okay.
And it's no offense to them, because I've listened to podcasts that they're on. I did not, apparently, I said Alexa Riley, and Alexa thought I was talking to her. So she's like, sorry, I didn't know that. Jesus Christ. Anyway, I was like, why is that thing talking? I'm not going to say its name, but I was like, why is it talking to me? God, I was kidding myself.
It's just funny because you got pissed because you legit said her name. She didn't mishear you.
No, legit she didn't. Said it like, I just totally fucking forgot. And then I got scared a bit at the same time because I was like, what the fuck's talking to me? Who? Huh. Yeah, I've been watching too much Investigation Discovery.
Yeah, apparently. You're like, oh, shit.
No, I know I've been watching too much Investigation Discovery. Anyway, so I'm basically going to kind of sort of tell you the whole book. It's a super, super fast book. Anyway, so he mandates that she goes with him to this ball, this gala that her family's throwing. Because she actually works for his sister, who is started her own lingerie company, right?
Oh, Jesus.
Right. That's what it all boils down to. And he decides that none of those models that got brought in are good enough, that it needs to be about a real woman. And so why don't you have her in the stuff? And she's like, well, I'm not a model. I don't want to be in the stuff. She keeps talking about how, like, well, I'm a big girl, and that's not what people want to see. And so he mandates that she goes to this gala with him. And he, of course, it's like, you're gonna be the best of everything, the hair and the nails and the dress, and it's going to be perfect, and you're going to be my perfect girl and my arm. And so, like, he even shows up and, like, gives her this ring and, like, presents her as his fiancé.
Is he, like...
And... Is he demented? I don't know.
He seems to have some sort of personality disorder.
So. I don't know. Because, like, yeah. Like, they do stuff in the limo on the way to the gala. Like, they've literally only known each other less than 24 hours. And, like, they've touched genitals more than I think I've touched my husband in, like, 6 months. Because, you know, life. So fucking unrealistic. It really bothered me, guys.
All right. So, nobody read that book.
Yeah, just don't read it.
All right.
We got something else we'll tell him just not to pay attention to later, too.
All right, great.
Jesus Christ. Hey, I could have been like, hey, I read this book and it kind of sucked. Or I could be like, these are all the reasons why you shouldn't read this book. I
honest
wanted it to be good.
And at what with Miranda.
You know what the worst part is? At one point, I was like, why am I still fucking reading this?
I was just wondering that myself. Like, at what
like,
point
I've
do you say, fuck this book?
The truth.
No. You gotta have
there,
a mind.
Oh, there's only ever been, like, one book that even though I didn't, like, okay, there's been several books that, like, I didn't care for, but I finished. There's only ever been one book that I was like, oh, fuck, nah, I'm out. Like, I'm out.
One book ever.
Yes.
What book was that?
I don't even remember the name of it now, to be honest. If I can find the name, I will tell everybody what it was. It was a romance, paranormal romance that was given to me to do a review on. And the lady said, this might be a little much for some people. And I was like, what are we talking about? Well, I asked the author, I was like, what are we talking about a little much? Are we talking about like BDSM? Are we talking about like... You know, what are we talking about? And she's like, yes, it's kind of BDSM. And I was like, okay, no big deal, right? Like, mm-hmm. Whatever. No. There's, like, blood fucking drinking. And I don't mean, like, yeah, like, it was very descriptive. Like, it was, like, the way it was, like, running and I'm going to make myself vomit over here. It was bad. Like, I closed it at, like, page whatever this was happening on, which was only, like, chapter 3 in the book. And I just, like, laid it down. It was on Kindle because, you know, it was given to me to, like, usually those that I get asked to review are on, like, Kindle or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I remember laying my Kindle down in my lap looking at Jerry and I'm like, and he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, and I tell him and he's like, oh, that's disturbing. And I'm like, I'm not. And I wrote the author a really nice letter because, you know, for some people, I'm not going to knock it if that's your thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to giggle and laugh. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do lots of that. But, like, if that's your thing, you do you, boo-boo. Like,
did you tell her that you couldn't get through
it? I told her that I would be more than glad to leave a partial review and just be honest and say that it was not for me. And she said, well, I did warn you. I said, you did. I said, but I asked if it was like BDSM level. And you said, yeah, pretty much kinda. And it's not. Like, this went to like a level that I am just uncomfortable with. But your writing, I told her, I said, now your writing, you're a good writer, because you made me almost want to throw up. So you're a good writer. I said, I'd be glad to read any of your other books. And she, you know what? She was actually really nice about it. She's like, I appreciate like the complete honest feedback. She's like, so she did. She asked me to just go ahead and write the review and say, you know, this is why it may not be for you. Yeah, she was super awesome about it. Like, super great. So wish
like, you're a great writer, but you're a sick fuck lady, and I'm not reading this book.
Right? Like, seriously, her writing ability, because, I mean, it elicited emotions in me that...
Now I want to read it.
Vomit emotions, but... really
vomit emotions.
But, like, she was very... it was well written, like, what parts of it I read. Like, it was descriptive, it was edited well.
All right,
like,
well, look that up and shoot me a DM.
I don't have to find that. Yeah, I really am good. But, yes, that is the only book that I've ever actually, like, completely laid down and said, oh, fuck no, never, ever again. Now, there have been books that I've laid out and I'm like, I don't think my mind's in this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then there have been books I've, like, and I've gone back to it. And then there have been books that I'm like, really not digging this, but maybe it'll pick up. So I, like, keep on going. But that is legitimately the only book that I've ever been like, and I'm out.
Okay. Wow. Anything else?
I think I've traumatized enough listeners.
Yeah. Like, I'm definitely going to have to find that book and read it.
I know it's in, like, really old Goodreads stuff. Because it was our conversation back and forth with the author was on Goodreads.
Okay.
So I know it's like in really old Goodreads messages because this has been several years ago.
All right. Let's talk about some streams. We're going to kind of do this a little bit different because in our next, in the second half of the show, we're going to focus intently on Netflix shows. So when we talk about streams, we're going to just talk about those that we've watched that are not on Netflix, and then all the next segment is all Netflix. Netflix and chill, if you will.
That rhymes.
All right. So when it comes to non-Netflix shows, I think that for me and you, the CW shows are high up on the list, and that would include Arrow and Flash and Supergirl for us.
Yes.
And we are both caught up. I think I've seen one more week than you have.
Mm-hmm.
But we're fairly caught up. And so, like, I want to talk about The Flash first.
Okay.
There's something weird happening on The Flash this season. And since we've gotten back from break, I think that it's become even weirder and, like, even more obvious at the quality of Flash because... I feel like what they're doing with Iris and Barry and their daughter Nora and her whole coming from the future timeline and what she's done in the future, all that stuff is good stuff. All the family dynamics there are good.
I'm wondering if you're fixing to say what I've been my problematic for me this season.
What I can't do this season is the villain in Cicada. And I just think that it's boring.
I'm having mixed feelings with this. So my huge mixed feeling with this is he is kind of boring as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to hate him.
It's because you feel like he has
a legitimate
motive.
Yeah.
Okay. And the little girl, and that is his niece, that
he is his kid.
I thought it was his niece.
It is his
niece.
Well,
yeah,
like,
yeah. Her parents died.
Right, and he's accepted her as his own, right. And you can tell he truly loves, like, at first, he didn't really want her.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he was like, whoa, 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 no, no, no. But he has come to love and adore that child, and since he doesn't have any kids, you can see it's like it's his kid. It's his world.
And she became injured, and then he started blaming Metis for that, and then now he has to kill Metis. which is pretty much a tired storyline. I think Chris Klein is not a very good actor. I think that little girl is kind of horrible. This past episode was very Inception-y, which is normally a good thing, but in this case, I did not enjoy it. I enjoyed the Barry's part of it and the Nora and the Iris of it. But when it
is
comes
that the
to
one that I haven't watched?
I think so.
Okay.
There's good stuff in that episode, but when you get to him and her, it's just it just all falls apart for me. I'm ready to be done with this.
I'm having some trust issues with Nora. I don't dislike Cicada. I think he's a little boring as a villain, but I want to hate him, but I kind of love him because I feel bad for him. Like, I feel empathy towards him.
I think that there's a way they could have made that possible. And that's what Barry is sort of trying to do, because he's like, you know, we're not going to be able to defeat him in this way, because they keep trying all these things that don't work. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we're not going to save him. We're not going to fix him. We need to fix the reason why he's doing what he's doing, which is the niece. So they try to help her, and then it becomes a whole nother thing.
Right.
So Barry is also trying to take that approach with Cicada, and I mean, yeah, okay. But it's just not being executed well.
Right. I'm not entirely, like, I didn't expect Nora to stay this long. Like, I really didn't either.
I thought she would be like, you know, maybe like 6-episode arc or something like that. I didn't realize
it
was going to be the whole season.
She's screwing shit up.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what they do. They fuck with the timeline.
Right, I mean, well, she's like, she's really fucked with the timeline because, like, she's not supposed to be here or still here or...
And she's working with the Reverse Flash.
Yeah.
And she's being manipulated by him, which I think is interesting. So, even though everybody says they don't want a speedster villain, when you give them villains like Cicada... versus the Reverse Flash, like, yeah, okay, I'll take that speedster villain. But he's not trying to defeat them with speed. He's trying to beat them with their relationship with their daughter. Which is interesting to me.
I'm not entirely sure exactly what all his motives and end game is on this either.
I don't know either.
Normally I have theories, but I just don't.
All right, so where are you at on Arrow? Because I know that you had been, like, not really feeling it.
No, like, I am completely, other than last week's episode, because it'll come on, tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Yeah, so other than last week's episode, I'm completely caught up. But I know what I wanted to tell you about Flash.
Oh, what was it?
The creepy... A flat pancake doll.
Oh, yes.
Talk about.
Yes.
I was.
What's his name?
I don't remember because that's how a little creeped out I was about that guy.
That was a great episode. I loved that.
Like, why couldn't he have just been the villain?
I would be on board with that.
As fuck.
And it's going to kill me. If
I know.
Call his name.
My keyboard clacks really loud.
Yeah, it does. I heard it earlier.
I didn't mean it's the gaming keyboard that matches my headset, and apparently that's the way it's made.
So we're on season 5 now? Yeah. Yeah. So we got Ragdoll.
I was sitting here typing Ragdoll villain.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah. Ragdoll.
That is it was from actually before the break. It was from November. But that was an excellent episode.
I've been waiting to be like, how fucking creep did anybody else, like, I'm not usually creeped out very easily or like, ugh. Mm-hmm. Like, I went to the bathroom that night and like I pulled back my shower curtain and was like, okay. And I looked at the ceiling and I was like, yep, not here. Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely...
Like, I was, like, legit creeped out by that guy.
And I thought it was pretty cool to see something that sort of in the horror realm on Flash, because you don't normally get that on that show. So I thought that was really well done.
And like the
great villain.
Yeah, that was creep. Creep, 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 creep.
All right. So you want to move on to Arrow now?
Yeah, I just had to get that out.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did. So on Arrow, you had said you weren't really enjoying it that much. I think the last time that we talked about it.
I don't dislike it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it better than the previous season.
Okay, well, that's good. So Oliver Queen has been outed as the Green Arrow. He came forward. He went to jail for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Had a series of great episodes, I thought, in the jail.
And I did like the stuff that took place in the jail and then the fights and stuff in there. I thought that was done
good.
Well.
Yeah, it was really good. Prison, I guess you should say, instead of jail, but
yeah, there's a big difference, and that was big boy jail. It's called the penitentiary. It's the real deal.
Yeah. People got shanked and shit there, okay?
I mean, you get shanked in county jail. I'm just saying.
So he got out. So that he was subject in these, what were they like? Not mind control, but like some sort of experiments with the crazy ass.
And it is kind of mind control. It's taking over. Think of what they did at Gotham, telling people like, no, that really didn't happen. And you need to think differently and you need to,
he was basically trying to reprogram
him. Brainwashing them.
Yeah,
basically.
Pretty much. And so all of that came out, and so he got out of jail, or prison, finally. And so he joins the cops, because that's what you do when you come out of prison, and you're an ex-vigilante, and they don't allow vigilantes anymore.
Well, I mean, technically... But I mean, what else was he going to do?
Right, I guess, but it's just weird. But there is somebody running around in a Green Arrow suit that we find out eventually who that is. And I don't know. You find out, okay, so Oliver could never get away from his daddy issues, number one. And...
Or his mommy issues. Let's be honest. Yeah. Mommy is a big reason why this is happening.
And so it all comes out that he has a half-sister named Miko. And we know her from the comic books. I know her from the comic books.
Yeah, I know her from the books. And I love her name, by the way.
Yeah, I do too. Although some of them say it weird. I feel like Felicity says her name weird. Because it sounds like she says Emiko sometimes instead of Emiko. But anyway.
I think that's that whole, like, American, how, like, depending on where you're from, depends on how it comes out kind of thing.
Maybe so. I don't
like,
know.
Them making fun of me for the way that I say episodes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so she ends up being the Green Arrow, and she's trying to avenge her mother. So she has a very similar sort of origin to, as far as motivation.
Right.
As Oliver. So what are you thinking about this?
I don't know. I have mixed feelings. Anytime you bring up a long-lost child or a sibling or, like, it can get very problematic very fast. And then you go covering up parts – well, not covering up, but then it's almost like you have to kind of change some backstory because you're like, well, wait. If so-and-so has a – if you have a sibling, then wouldn't that mean that during this time – you know what I'm saying? Like, it can change some – backstory, or it changes things.
It reinforces like his dad being a dick. Because
it does, because we
easily see him abandoning another family. You know.
Well, I mean, and the sad thing is, like, it was Moira, right? Moira. I always say her name.
Moira.
Moira. Yeah.
Moira.
Moira. Anyway, it's one of those that once again everybody says it different.
All right.
So. Mrs. Queen, let's just do that so that my jaw doesn't say weird things. It goes back to show you because we'd finally reached a point where, like, the Queens were good people again. Mm-hmm. They had done some shitty things, but now that Oliver's done everything he has, and Speedy's done everything she has, the Queens were good people, and their parents really did care. Well, you find out, oh, Laura there, Myra, whatever her fucking name is the reason that Emiko grew up without a father.
Right.
Because he was willing to... Oliver's dad, yeah, he's a douche, you made a second family, but, like, Emiko's mom knew that he had a family, and, but he was willing to take care of them financially.
Right.
So come visit Emiko when, you know, things like that. Because she was just right there in the Glades, was she not?
Yes, in the Glades.
Yeah, so she was just, like, right there in the Glades. So, like, he was willing to take care of these two, and Miss Queen there was like, oh, fuck no.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, goddamn. She had been through so fucking much at that point.
She cheated on him too.
Well, true, but still.
Because
no, she didn't. Oh yeah, she did. Never mind.
I was like, really, Jen? Tell me again how Speedy's dad.
I have forgot that. Anyway, go ahead. Never mind. Fuck her.
Right, so it's like, it's going back to like, well, she's a shit too. Like,
yeah, she's
his dad was an ass, and he made a second family, but at least he was trying to take care of them.
Right, and she made...
Right, and she...
She had her illegitimate daughter raised as a queen.
Right. So, I mean, which, let's be honest, even if she had not been raised as a queen, she was still going to be doing just fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
It was another rich family.
Yeah.
That... she was part of. Emiko grew up in the Glades.
Yeah.
You know, with a mom that was probably struggling to put food on the table.
Right. And then her mom died in a fucked up way.
Oh, a real fucked up way.
Yeah. So I thought, Emiko, I thought the actress was really good.
I do like her. She's familiar. Either she's reminding me of someone or she's been on something. I'm not entirely sure.
I thought she did a really good job at, like, being angry, but not, like, she had this, like, a quiet strength to her. She wasn't, like, outlandish or...
She wasn't as broody as he was. I mean, don't get me wrong. She's got some brood going on, but she wasn't as bad as he was when he was first becoming the Arrow. And
she softened towards him quicker than expected. In my opinion, because he went public and said he lied about his dad, and so now everybody knows that his dad was a murderer.
Well, and you kind of feel bad for him because he lied because he thought that was the truth. To an extent.
Well, like, he also
thought, like, his dad was doing what had to be done, and now he's finding out, no, my dad was just an asshole.
Yeah, well, I think he probably already knew that, but...
Right.
I just don't know how I feel about this Oliver Queen being transparent, you know, because he's not a vigilante anymore. He's with
not.
The police. He's doing interviews, spilling his fucking guts.
I'm right.
Like, and I understand, like... That's supposed to be part of his arc, his journey into not being dark.
Right.
But that's what I like about him. Is it wrong? It's like, I want him to stay damaged so he can be what I want him to be.
Well, no, that's part of what makes him this attractive vigilante.
Right.
Like badass.
I just feel like he's losing all his edge if he does this. But... at the same time, it is nice to see a character grow. So, I just feel real conflicted a lot of times when it comes to Arrow.
You know what's funny? That's not even the most problematic thing for me.
What is it?
In this season. These flash forwards.
Oh, to the future timeline?
I'm not. There are all these fan theories, and I need to quit fucking reading them. But, like, I had my own, because I'm thinking about this. And I'm going through this in my brain, and I'm like, okay. So, well, here's my whole thought process to it. If we're watching this season, and we're seeing that that is the future, so that is the dismal future. Ollie's dead. Felicity's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Wild Dog has become a asshole mayor of the Glades.
Mm-hmm.
Roy can't be seen. Mm-hmm. Dinah can't be seen. Like, mm-hmm. if that is the fucking future, then why are we continuing this show? Because I don't want to go to that. Like, that's not what I want my show to end. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what I want.
Yeah, I agree.
I have a theory that all rose back to old Nora over there that should have kept her ass in the future.
Oh, yeah? What's your theory?
Well, remember at the crossover when Ollie wakes up as Barry, mm-hmm. and he's like, Barry, what did you do now? Yeah. Like, what have you done this time? Like, I'm wondering if because, you know, Flash is obviously set, like, on Flash, they've said, where she's like, oopsie, her little, like, I'm sorry I changed the timeline. Like, when that goes down, because every time this has happened, it's affected other people, like Diggle's child.
Oh, daughter,
changing,
yeah.
You know, all the
yeah.
things have changed over this time.
Right. Flashpoint.
I'm wondering if Nora's little changes that she's done that have caused the problems in it, you know, for Flash Gang,
that's
maybe like, well, the flash forwards are, if we don't fix the shit, that's what we're gonna end up with.
Kind of like when, okay, yeah, I could see that.
Because I just don't know. I just, something about them telling me, the show telling me, like, hey, this is what you get in the end. Oliver's dead, Felicity's dead, and all this shit doesn't matter anymore, and the city's even more corrupt than it was beforehand, and the Glades is where it's at now. Like, I don't know. If it's telling me, if that's the end game, and that really is true, then what the fuck are we doing?
Well, I was hoping that it might tie into all of this Ollie going public stuff. So, like, maybe if he goes back in the shadows, then maybe that future doesn't have, I don't know. But I do
like
your Flash theory.
I don't know, because I was just thinking, I mean, yes, they're showing us that Felicity is wanting to stand on her own a little more. The whole, like,
yes.
her having a gun and accepting a gun and, you know, but I don't think her getting a gun to protect her stepson and herself turns her so cynical that she just becomes this, like, horrible villain? Like,
no.
I don't know. No. I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
It's,
So, yeah.
I think performance-wise, it's been really good. It feels, honestly, and I know it always has been, but to me, it looks a little bit more pronounced. It looks like a soap opera, like a daytime soap opera.
It does, but I have been wondering if the reason I think it looks like that is because I got a new TV and the refresh rate, like your husband was saying, is like just so much faster.
Yeah,
because it looks like they're right there.
Yeah, it's
so. I'm wondering, is it because we got nice TVs now, or is it because
I still got the same old TV?
They're doing better.
I don't know.
I thought you guys got a different one, too.
Mm-mm. I just,
mine died. It had to happen.
Anyway, moving on to Supergirl. Okay. So, this is another one. I have mixed feelings about all these shows. And I don't know whether it's just me not being patient enough to see the story through, or
Or maybe it's because we're already usually given, like, I mean, I know these shows go till May, mm-hmm. but, well, not all of them.
Well, those three,
most, all three of those should go till May. I'm with you.
Because there are good things in Supergirl, like, okay, she had to leave the DEO because, The new head of the DEO wanted her identity, and she refused to give it.
Right. She said, give us your identity or else, pretty much. And so
she's, like, kicked out.
Yeah. Well,
Well, she left, not kicked
right.
out.
She left her on her own accord because mm-hmm. even the president was like, "Nope, you're going to get. Tell us who you are." And she said, "Well, then I no longer work for the DEO, and I no longer work for the United States government because I can't do it."
But she is going to continue to do what she wants to do as Supergirl,
right?
So that's conflict there. What do you think about her stance not to give out her identity? I tend to like it because over an Arrow, I don't like it that everybody knows about Ollie.
I do. Well, because here's the thing. She's right. Because all these people have known who she is this whole time. And her family that she's built, comprised of her actual family and then her built family, like Jean and, you know, obviously Alex and Jimmy, if they all realized, if everybody was like, "Oh, wait, she's Supergirl and she hangs out with them all the time." So then they're going to go back and Jimmy's going to get into trouble because, okay, wait, Supergirl knew about Guardian and didn't do anything about it. Oh, wait, Alex Danvers is your sister. You know, like there's just a lot of implications here and a lot of like, we could go back to season one and people could start really be drugged through the ringer, so to speak, because they knew essentially that the whole time. And then what are they going to go back and, you know, then they're going to go all the way back and be like, "Well, wait, your parents have always known who she was." That kind of deal.
Right.
Like,
it's just the domino effect.
Right. It is the ripple or domino effect, however you want to say it. So I stand with her when she was like, "No, I'm not going to give it up." I was like, "You go, girl. Don't."
So the head of the DEO decides that they're going to do this, some sort of technology or something that...
Right.
I forget what they call it.
It's an organism of its own, essentially. It's a living organism that has the ability to tell if you are lying or not and detect lies.
Right.
And she's using it on anyone and everyone she thinks might know anything about who Supergirl really is.
So as a result, John has to wipe out that memory of, you know, of Alex knowing who Kara is. And I thought that scene when they were deciding to do that was...
Well, because Alex decided. She
right,
said, "No,
yeah.
I have to do this."
Yeah. And that was just... It wrecked me.
That was emotional.
I was not ready for that scene. And it was amazing. To me, that episode has been the best one of this season.
The one that followed it was needed. It wasn't, it wasn't like an amazing episode, but it was needed.
Mm. Is that the one where she goes out of town?
Yeah, where they go out of town. She goes with the girl that...
Mia, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't think of her name. Which, that was kind of emotional.
It was. That was a very, that was a hard episode. And like you said, I think it was needed too. It's sort of a one-off episode,
right?
To get you more invested in Mia's character, which I have enjoyed her character. I have enjoyed Brainiac quite a bit.
He's adorable.
He is adorable. Like, he gets cuter every episode.
And if you never watched, it was right there on the tip of my tongue. He actually played in a sci-fi television series that lasted like two or three seasons, where he's essentially a different race in it too. Like, he's not a human. He's like one of the alien races. And I watched all of it and it was really good. He's really good in it too.
What else do we like on Supergirl? Anything we don't like? What about, Luther? Lena? What do we think about Lena?
I think she has good intentions, but I still have that fear.
You're just waiting on her to turn.
I'm waiting, well, because she's hiding it, mm-hmm. is my problem.
Mm-hmm.
She's hiding it from everyone. And I understand, to put it into perspective, there was an article that came about the Chinese guy that has found a way to, he can alter a human's DNA or a baby's DNA where they are completely immune to HIV,
mm-hmm.
well, that's fantastic, but what other problems does it cause? Or that's fantastic, but, like, then you're going to have people that are like, well, I need my kid to be tall and have brown hair. And, like, at what point does it stop? So what she's doing is really awesome, and it would give people the choice and the ability to, I guess, because essentially if she could make someone have powers like right. that, she could help people that didn't want them to. Right.
Yeah.
Like in Mia's case.
Right.
Like she didn't really want them. Like, but at what point are you taking it too far?
Yeah. And nobody should really have that much control, I don't
think. Right, that much power. I don't know. And I think the fact that she has very good intentions, and I don't know, though. Her disdain that she seems to have for Supergirl on occasion now.
Yeah, she does.
And
she does have salty demeanor.
Right. And the secrets that she's hiding from everyone, mm-hmm. to include Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm real concerned about what path this may possibly lead her down.
I'm hoping that next season is all about evil Lena, because I'm ready for it.
Like, I'm okay with evil Lena, but at the same time, I'm not, because she's become such a dynamic part of, like, the friends group.
Yeah.
But I like her. I like her character. I like her as a person. But I think this living on the edge of will she ever become evil or not needs to be decided.
Yeah, there's, I like the, like, sort of, suspense about it, but it's getting to that point where I'm ready. Like, I'm ready.
Kind of like
for
we
this.
Complain with the whole, like, will they, won't they thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like the same thing. It's like, will she fall in love with her love of this science project or not? I don't know. I'm just very anti. I don't know. And I mean, we get Lex for at least two episodes.
Oh, yeah. We get John Cryer Lex.
I just don't even know where to start on that one.
Yeah, that's just.
Funny is you and I had just talked about John Cryer.
Yeah.
Like just talked about him in something unrelated, and then that article popped up with, you know, John Cryer as Lex Luthor, and I'm like, what?
Maybe we'll be surprised and he'll...
Well, he's a good actor, I don't doubt his acting ability,
yeah.
And this version of Lex is supposed to be a good amount older than Lena.
Mm-hmm.
So there's those two things, but the look was just really, I don't know, it was throwing me
weird,
off.
Weird, yeah, we'll super weird.
We'll see.
Yeah, yep. All right, is there anything non-Netflix related you wanted to talk about?
Did you finish all of Legends?
Yeah, all that we got so far, because we don't
get that's any. All we got.
Yeah.
And that's like we hit the mid-season finale, so we won't get any more for a while now.
Yeah, sucks. But
apparently they don't come back until like April. Which
yeah.
leads me to believe that maybe they're going to be on a little bit longer than the others.
I don't know. I think they just have less episodes than the other shows do.
Well, that's kind of a bummer, because honestly, it's the one working
best
for me.
Show.
To vote.
It is.
Right. Best.
It is. I never have any of these doubts like I have with these other shows. That it doesn't exist for me on Legends. Legends is pure joy.
Oh my god, I love Legends so freaking much.
I gush about them every single time we talk about it. There's nothing else I can say. Like, every episode delivers. They're just different and funny and weird and awesome and so meta and just wonderful.
I totally love this new girl they've thrown in. That's like the keeper, the feeder.
Yeah,
and the
girl. They find these quirky characters and somehow
it
works.
She is too freaking cute. And I feel really bad, though, for Gary.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because Gary clearly is so into her. And I feel bad for her, too, though, because she's interested in Wolf Guy.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name, honestly.
Wolf Guy.
Well, because they say his name, but I don't remember it either. Well, and remember, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
They go back and forth. So, I feel bad for her, too, because, you know, obviously something's going on with him, mm-hmm. but...
I just think it's amazing that, like, even with the Gary character, that was, like, you know, a nothing character, last season, and slowly they just...
Well, that's what
built him in and built him in to the point where I kind of care about this Gary guy, and that's just amazing to me.
I do care about this Gary guy, and I think the reason that that happens on Legends, another Miranda theory, is it's kind of like the Bebo thing. Like, I don't think Bebo was ever supposed to be what it was. I think it was supposed to be like a one time. Here's this tiny little fluffy thing, and then everybody clamored for Bebo, so they're like, how can we give them bigger, better, more Bebo? And, like, wasn't it on Flash that they popped in a Bebo?
Because he
gives the little girl a Bebo.
Yeah. I love that. I love that so much about that show.
It's, that now it's become, like, this big ordeal. And then the even though... Crap, my brain just went dead. This is why you don't do drugs, kids. No, I've never done. I don't do drugs.
Do all the drugs, kids.
You're gone. But like, even though she's a clone, help me.
Yes, she's Eva.
Ava. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though Ava's a clone, the episode where she gets all excited because she's really into, like, serial killer documentaries and stuff, and she's like, no, that's not right. I know that's not right. I don't know, but, like, I think people liked Ava, and they like Gary, and they like... I mean, obviously, that's why Constantine's still here.
Yeah.
They like Constantine, so I feel like on that show, they listen to what we like... And they're running with it.
And they make it really clever and fun.
They do.
And it just, it's beautifully done. I love it. And I think all the shows today, I think I read they all got renewed.
They did all get renewed to include season 15 of Supernatural.
Season 15.
15. Jesus. 15. Yes.
Supernatural can now drive a baby car now. So just saying.
Yeah, I want to say they renewed Flash, Arrow, Supernatural.
Legends.
Did they say Black Lightning? I didn't see Black Lightning.
I think so.
Okay, Black Lightning. They surprisingly have also renewed Charmed and Legacies, which are two of the new shows.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they are not renewing All American. Or it's not been said yet, but that leads me to believe that, like, if the other two new shows are getting renewed and those aren't, you know, probably didn't make it. Well, then, and then they knew, like, Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, they already knew before this season started that they were both final seasons.
Right.
They meant to have an end.
Right.
But there is going to be a Jane the Virgin spinoff that I'm, like, so fucking excited about.
Really?
Yes. So, because, you know, she's a writer in the book, or in the show, she's a writer. She writes romance novels. So, it's going to be a telenovela-style show of her books.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
So, it's her as the writer. So, I'm assuming she'll be the narrator this time.
Hmm.
And telenovela-style of her books. By the way, I need to find out if you can actually buy Rory's book.
Hmm.
Someone said you can. You know, the book he writes, the whole...
Oh, yeah.
The book he writes, because, you know, he wrote a romance.
Yeah. Really?
That's
what it is. You can find it?
Somebody said that you can get it somewhere, and I got to find out where. So people out there in internet land, if you could tell me how to get the book that Roy wrote on Legends... That would make my day.
Oh, my God. That would be awesome.
Well, I mean, they're taking the Jane ones, and they had a ghostwriter, like, legitimately write them. So why wouldn't they do the same with that book? Maybe they needed more of enough of us to clamor for it.
Please let that be a thing. I want to read that.
Yeah, I really want to read that. I really want to read that book. Well, Flash reads it. Remember when they
That's right. Yeah.
Flash reads it.
That's funny. I love that.
Oh, and I loved the joke, like, because they weren't part of the crossover, which I was really bummed about first.
Yeah,
but
me too.
When they're in there,
yeah,
but Constantine screwed everything up.
Yeah,
and they're like, ah, yeah.
So she says something about, like,
you've got a message from Kara, or you've got a message from Kara Danvers, Barry Allen, and Oliver Queen.
It's like this happens, like, this time every year.
He's like, yeah, and he's like something about, oh, it must be that time again. we're not in. Because that's when they're like the badass bros with the Rambo.
Oh, my God.
Oh, such a great show.
It's fantastic. That Constantine episode, that gut-wrenched
so
me.
So good. Oh, my God.
Because when he realizes, like, it's all his fault. Mm-hmm. That was hard on him.
It was rough. There's so many funny things, though.
Yeah, even though it was hard, it was funny.
Funny, yeah.
So that one's working for me. So I guess, you know, if we have at least that going for us, then...
Yeah, I just need more of it.
Yeah. Like,
waiting till April sucks balls.
It really does.
Any other shows you want to mention?
Not that I can think of. I mean, I've been keeping up with pretty much everything. But. Yeah.
The only other one that I wanted to talk about briefly is, I've mentioned it a few times, I think, is on the DC Universe app, and it is called Titans. And holy shit, I finally finished it. There's 11 episodes, which is an odd number of episodes to have. And I feel like there's some weird, like, pacing and stuff in the... It feels like in the order of episodes sometimes. It's weird. But, like, all the episodes are good. For me, I enjoyed all of them. But they all feel like they're parts of different shows. Like, I mean, they all have the same characters. And, you know, they're trying to tell this one story. But each episode has a different feel from the one before it. And maybe it's because they try to focus on different characters kind of every episode. And also advance the group storyline.
Right.
But that last episode was amazing. I was like fucking freaking out. And it's centered around Dick Grayson.
Right.
Holy shit. And they finally show Batman. You don't see it. You don't talk to him or anything, but you see Batman in action on Titans is great. And the story that they're doing with Batman is great. And I'm just like, I was freaking out that whole last episode of Titans. And then they kind of cliffhang you at the end. I was like, oh my God, when are they making more of these? So I will say, if you're, it's real hard to recommend this, because you have to get the DC Universe app, which, to be honest, I haven't used very much at all, except for watching Titans and, like, old episodes of Lois and Clark. And I think I read, like, one comic book on there. But I think they've added a lot of comic book content, and there will be, I think there's the third season of Young Justice, which was a huge deal for Young Justice fans. That dropped on the app.
Show.
So there are lots of draws to this, but add Titans to the list of draws, even though I feel like it's going to be a hard sell for most people to get this as a monthly deal. I bought the year's worth, and I probably overpaid for it for what I'm going to use, but Titans has sucked me in to the point where I'm okay with it. And Titans aren't, like, on my list of, like, favorite comic... I mean, Dick Grayson is one of my top comic book people, but what they've done with Raven and Dick Grayson, I like Beast Boy, I like Hawk and Dove, I think are great. They have two episodes in this season, and they are great. I mean, like, just legit. And one of its... Minka Kelly, who is not my favorite actress, but she does this. Like, I'm okay with her doing this. And usually I pretty much hate her. But, like, I'm, like, blown away with how great Titans is. I really even like Starfire more than I think most people do. It's just, it's surprising. Like, the most surprising bit of comic bookery that I have come across in a while.
Jerry actually watched it, because, fun fact, over there, he does not have to get the CW app. It is actually on Netflix.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, he actually gets the Star Trek, which you have to buy on the CBS app here, and he gets Titans, what you have to get from the DC app and different things like that. So, like, here in the U.S., it requires you to have the app, and there, it doesn't.
Huh. That's cool. What does he think about it?
He fucking loved it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Loved it. Because he was like, hey, have you watched this Titans yet? And I was like, no, because it requires the DC app. And I was going to consider it. So, actually, Kelly had got the app. He got a special deal on the membership. Mm-hmm. And so Kelly and I were going to start watching them together. But I was like, no, haven't done it yet because, you know, don't have the app.
Y'all should
and
definitely
he's like,
do
what
that.
Do you mean don't have the app? I watched it on Netflix. And I was like, well, dear.
That is cool that he can do that, though.
Yeah, so while he's over there, he gets a lot of different stuff for free.
That's cool.
Makes me jealous.
And real quick, I wasn't going to say anything because we were running long. We need to take a break. But, Mrs. Maisel had its second season, and it's awesome, and you should watch it. So I'll just say that.
That's good.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I should say, on Amazon Prime. And, all right. Do you have any downloads you would like to mention before you have a break?
I don't think I've been listening to anything that's any different than what I've talked about before, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
Well, do you want to talk about the other show that you... I mean, you don't have to if you don't want to, but if you wanted to say a little something about it?
About my new show?
Yeah.
Oh, I could do that, yeah. So, episode one is officially out. Now... That was us learning how to edit. So please bear with us. I'm also still learning how to put it on iTunes. So it's just on Podbean. It's on Podbean right now.
And what's it called?
It's called Lady and the Beard.
All right, and that's you and Kelly.
Yeah, that's me and Kelly Poole. Mm-hmm. Right now, it just is probably going to be a once a month. Or once every other month podcast. The only real similarity to Geek and Sassy is that obviously it's going to stay in the nerd/pop culture world. But we may talk about like, which Jenny and I talk about where the hell we want to, but we've talked about like different topics in science that we want to discuss, some different movies that we want to discuss, different back issues of comics, because Kelly does have a pretty awesome comic book knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons, like just different things that we would like to go over and just talk about in a two people conversation type style. So for right now, we don't have any huge plans of like, hey, we're going to interview people or anything like this. We just have kind of like a NPR, two people talking to each other type style setting, probably about once a month. Our first episode is essentially just us introducing who we are, our favorite things, some of our favorite things, how we got into the things that we're in. So most of you have probably heard the majority of my story before or my things before. I feel like we talked about like specific, like, how are you, you know, that kind of thing.
Right,
like,
right.
What do you really like? But, episode two, we're actually going to take a dive into Miss Marvel and who she is and where she came from and different iterations of her and such due to the upcoming Miss Marvel film.
Nice.
I'm pretty excited about that one, actually.
Well, I think everybody should download that then.
Yes, yes.
Be awesome.
It will be on like Google Play, Stitcher, all those things coming up. But apparently, it's not as easy as it sounds to be like, hey, I'm going to post my podcast and it's going to go to all these places. Like, there's a lot of red tape.
Yeah.
So, like, back to what you were saying before, like, if anybody has questions, like, I'm learning a lot of new ins and outs that, like, I was aware of but not aware of, if that makes sense. It's so, like, there's, like, a lot of red tape if you want to be on iTunes, and if you don't mark it just right, like, you can get booted off iTunes for good. And,
oh,
like,
shit.
Yeah, like, you have to make sure it says E for explicit, and you have to, like, even if you just say shit, like, one time, like, you have to make sure you mark it, because they actually do pay people to listen and report that kind of stuff. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, like there's a lot of stuff I just wasn't aware of. So Podbean though is pretty well known, and so we're there for the moment, which I mean makes it kind of easy to find because Podbean's on all devices.
Oh yeah,
but we're on Podbean, and you know, kind of tweeting every now and then. I'm bad at this Twitter thing sometimes. I'm good at the Facebook thing.
Yeah, I've gotten behind on the Twitter thing too.
It's okay.
So since we're talking about sort of our outside of Geek and Sassy projects, I will mention a new wrestling podcast that is on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, and it is called Talkin' WCW. Mm-hmm. And that was me wanting to try to convince Tim, my partner at Talkin' Pop, to do a wrestling podcast with me, and so we enlisted Greg to help us, and it's obviously they're the knowledgeable ones when it comes to wrestling in WCW.
I think you should give yourself a little more credit there. You've been doing really good with like research and learning stuff. I mean, you need to give yourself some more credit.
Well, I'm super into it. Like, I'm super into our format, which is we pick a wrestler, and then each of us picks one match, and then we watch them separately, and then come together to discuss them, so that we get exposed to you know, some of our favorites, some of our friends' favorites, and then also can talk about our favorites. And you know, there's a lot of laughs and stuff along the way. But it's, I think it's entertaining and informative, maybe a little bit. And we've had the one episode so far, and we got a good response from it. And I fucking love doing it. And I edited all of that first episode myself.
Cool.
So, you know, I know wrestling's not everybody's cup of tea, but I think it's a fun show. And even if you don't know anything about wrestling or care anything about wrestling, I think it's just a fun listen. So now that we've done our shameless plugs, let's take a break, because, boy, we've got a lot of stuff to get into when we come back. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place Be Nation's Justin Rosero and Chad Campbell here, and we want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceBeNation.com, and we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place Be Nation Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Survey Says, Wrestling War Zone, a Monday Night Wars podcast retrospective, No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. On top of that, we're also dipping into the vault, re-releasing the entire catalog of Where the Big Boys Play for your enjoyment. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is loaded with great content, offering such tremendous shows covering the land of pop culture, such as Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Sunday Groove, PTB in Play, Freak Out Drive-In, Songs with Friends, Looking Forward, Looking Back, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Conversation Comics, DC Post Crisis Management, Marvel Age, and Marvel Age Masterclass, plus weekly pod blasts that cover the gamut of comic topics. The feed is also filled with insightful sports content, including the NBA team, This Week in the NFL, and more.
And you can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows plus others available at PlaceBeNation.com. We cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceBeNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back to Geek and Sassy. Jennifer Miranda here. We want to, before we start our Netflix and chill we're going to have a short little new segment. Miranda, what is our new segment called?
New. No, it's not called new. it is called Geek Love.
Ooh, sounds hot.
It does. But haha, alas, it is tricky and it is not.
Oh, damn it.
So the concept and the premise behind Geek Love came to me after listening to a different podcast that I admire, and not just their podcast, but also like a couple groups I'm in. Oftentimes I hear people talking about, especially with women and mothers, they talk about like self-love, self-care, you know, lady love kind of stuff.
And those are three specific things to me. Like, I think self-love is a thing. I think self-care is a thing. I think lady love is a separate thing. So you're going to have to be more specific when it comes to your description.
Okay, well, each of those in these groups, they group them together. Just meaning, what do you do to take care of yourself, to give yourself a moment of zen, to calm yourself and just do something for you. And sometimes those things can be, you know, a lot of times you hear people say, well, self-care and self-love is not always just taking a bubble bath. And you're right, it's not. But for some people it is, and that's male or female. Sometimes it's, you know, buying a new dress or you know, eating a chocolate bar, whatever it could be. It could be like 1,000 different things. It could be materialistic, non-materialistic, you know, an event, a thought, a state of mind. It can be all kinds of different things. And so when I heard this segment, and then I'm in several different various Facebook groups that they talk about this a lot. And I thought, well, this pertains to everybody. And as a geek nerd, there's like a moment of like nerd love, geek love. Like, what can you do for yourself that week that's like a, just gives you a moment of you, takes care of you? Like I told Jenny earlier, like treat yourself, kind of.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
The geek version of that.
The geek version. And again, it could be an idea. It could be a thought process of like, this week I'm not going to think about these things. I'm going to focus on this. Like, what could you do just to kind of, like, give yourself a moment, basically? I can explain that maybe a little better if somebody has a question, like, if you're not quite getting what I'm meaning, but...
Well, let's give our examples, and then maybe that will be obvious.
But you said you had one. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
So this is, like, silly, and it's whatever, but, you know...
That's part of what this is, though. It's like, it can be serious, it can be silly... It can be funny. It doesn't matter.
So, I'm you know, pretty much a simple kind of person. Like, I'm not a very fancy, I'm not very girly at all. So, I don't wear, dresses normally. You know, I'm a jeans and t-shirt kind of girl. And that also pertains to underwear. So, and like, I'm not trying to get dirty. I honestly mean this like sweetly and innocently. But I have some Wonder Woman underwear that always make me feel good. So, I think everybody should buy some underwear that reminds them of their favorite superhero. Or their fandom or whatever. Because they make cute underwear for men and women in all kinds of fandoms. So, you know what? I think that everybody should have that. You're like, I'm going to put on my Wonder Woman panties today. And I'm going to have a good day.
Yeah, actually, see, that's perfect. That is exactly what this segment is supposed to be.
And it's silly and kind of dumb, but yeah.
Well, no, but it's also at the same time, like, some days, you know, the joke is put on your big girl panties. Well, it'd be like, damn it, them are my big girl panties, and I just put them suckers on, and I'm going to have a damn good day, and you're not going to do anything, like, you're not going to change that.
There
you
go.
That's what this is about.
All right.
Yeah.
Sweet. What's yours?
So, Caden and I were watching and saw, which we knew it came out, so we saw the preview for the newest Lego movie throughout the past couple of months at different movies we went to. Oh my God. Different movies we went to. And it comes out next week. So I think everyone should take themselves to a kids movie and just take your hour and 45 minutes to change, because kids movies usually aren't super long, and just like do nothing, obviously. Like, don't pay attention to your phone if it buzzes. Like, just eat your popcorn, watch your kids movie, because, I mean, yeah, some of us do cry in kids movies, but I'm saying, like, it's not going to be hard to watch. It's not a, you know, serious thing. Just, like, go and remind yourself why 12-year-old you was awesome, and you're awesome now. Like,
I like it.
Have your time.
Something carefree and
right, like,
funny and like, light.
Yeah, it's light, it's carefree, it's funny.
Uplifting.
It's still in the realm of, like, the movies that you would follow. It's Legos. Who the hell doesn't love Legos? I'll be 34 in a few weeks. I still love Legos. Like, you know.
I like that idea. And I'm excited to see that movie.
I am very excited to see that movie.
All right. So, go love yourself.
Yes. No, essentially, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
We're so...
Go love yourself, you beautiful mer creature, you majestic...
And merman.
Beautiful, majestic sea creature. You are amazing, and you deserve carefree happiness. So put on your big boy or girl pants and do the damn thing. Boom.
Crushed it.
Mic drop. Boom. All right, so. I'm not out. We're not done.
We still got lots of shit to talk about. So hang in there. We are going to do this little fun thing called Netflix and Chill. And no, it's not what you're thinking. Although.
Oh, we really did chill.
We got to hang out in person a couple of weekends ago, and that was fun. And we've both been watching a ton of Netflix, so we were like trying to come up with what we wanted to talk about on the show, and we just kept coming up with all this stuff that we've seen. We want to talk about, like, let's just do a Netflix version, you know, a Netflix special, sort of.
Yeah.
So we watched a couple of things together, which was fun. And where do you want to start on this?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do we start with, like, the crappy one? Like, the one that neither one of, like, it just didn't work for either of us?
Yeah, let's start off negative. I love that.
Yeah.
So we watched this Netflix movie. Is it called EO or IO?
I think it's IO.
I think it is,
like,
IO.
Because it's the letter I and then O. I think it's IO. Well, no, she says IO.
I thought she did. So this is a movie with Anthony Mackie and that other chick that I can't remember her name.
And that's what we're going with, too.
Yeah. And so it's about, it's post-apocalyptic. Pretty much all of humanity has fled to Io.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is a moon and Jupiter.
Yeah, Jupiter's moon.
And I was cracking jokes at Jenny's house. Yeah.
And Uranus was one of those jokes.
No, Miranda is a moon on Uranus.
Miranda is a moon on Uranus.
I'm on Uranus.
Hot.
Anyway, sorry.
So, I think the actress's name is Margaret Qualley. That's a weird name.
That sounds right.
So anyway, she's like a scientist, and she's trying to figure out how to save the Earth. It's toxic air and bullshit. And so Anthony Mackie shows up in a goddamn whatever the fuck.
Name's Micah.
He shows up in a
weather balloon.
A balloon, like the fucking Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
And
which is what I thought when he, like...
Yeah.
So this movie sucks. We did not like it. It was boring.
It had so much potential, and the trailer was like
the trailer. Hell yeah. The trailer was better than the movie.
Jenny's husband watched it with us too.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was interested. We were all interested in it. We were like, oh, that's cool. And, like, I think at one point the boys even came out. And both the boys were like, what? And they just, like, left the room. Yeah.
It was just awful.
Somebody referred to it. I read a review that said it's Martian wannabe that didn't exactly hit the marks.
No.
Let's talk about that creepy, like, I'm in my towel and some stare at you across the room.
Yeah, so, like, you know, they, obviously, they're not really, they can't be the last two people on the planet, and, like, the last shuttle's about to leave the Earth, so they're like, that's another issue, but so, they think that they need to, like, procreate, I guess.
Well, I don't think he thinks that. I don't think it was, like, he is going into this thinking, like, oh, well, you know, we got to replenish the Earth, because at that point, he's still determined they're leaving. Yeah, they're leaving. But all these people have stayed behind because they listened to stuff her father said, who was a very prominent scientist, highly renowned scientist.
So he's believing that her father has a plan to save everybody, when in actuality, she's the one carrying out his experiments and trying, and he's dead.
Called it.
So,
did I not?
Spoilers, but don't watch this movie anyway. But
we're telling you why to not watch it. So, like, don't watch it.
So, and I think the other part of it about them sleeping together is that obviously they were lonely. You know, they lonely and horny and wanted to sleep together, and that's fine. But like, they make it really fucking awkward and stupid and not hot. And it's, the pacing's all weird, too, because it's like, okay, the last shuttle is leaving the planet, but then they just spend all this time doing nothing.
Oh, my God, yes, and talking about nothing.
Talking about nothing. Like, you need to be making plans. You need to be doing some shit. You're going to get left behind.
Jenny was so funny, guys, because she's like, why aren't you packing a bag?
And y'all ain't doing shit.
She's like, what the hell are we doing?
I'm like, do something. Because, fuck, I can't even leave my house for the day without packing half what I fucking own and taking it with me. Anyway, it was just real dumb.
It was. And the whole, like, I don't know, there are some theories in a bunch of different reviews I read that, like, maybe she's actually schizophrenic and that guy that she was writing letters to, like, she's making this shit, like...
Yeah, she had an off-planet cyber sex...
So, like,
guy.
I guess they probably knew each other from when, like, the Earth was okay.
Yeah.
And they were boyfriend, girlfriend, or really good friends, and he is in Io waiting for her, basically begging her, you need to get on the ship, you need to get to Io. Like, we can be together, but you got to get here, it's not safe for you to be there.
And then he also tells her, oh yeah, they found a planet that we can maybe live on, so I'm going to go to the Expeditionary Force with those guys. So by
right,
the
they
time
offered
you...
me this deal, yeah. And I can't pass it up.
So by the time you get like, here, I won't be here anymore.
I won't be here, this expedition's like a 5-year expedition.
Yeah. So, it's just pointless. Like, what's the point
right?
of you? This doesn't mean anything.
That's
so stupid.
Yeah, and then the whole, like, okay, so clearly we've already said they end up, like, you know, I don't know if her mind, in her mind, it's procreation or she's pissed at...
To me, it looked deliberate on her part. It looked like she wanted him to be a sperm donor. Like, there was no... I mean, there was, let me, maybe some mild attraction. Like, I never felt like they...
I never felt any... Actually, I felt really weird, like...
It was awkward. And that's fine. But...
And I'm sorry, but from what we know, they actually only slept together once.
Once, right.
Once.
And then...
Now, don't get me wrong. I have a friend from high school, I think I've told this story, that the very first time she slept with someone when we were in high school, she got pregnant. And I'm not joking, the very first time.
That sucks.
So, like, I know it's possible, but come on now.
It's
unlikely. You're making me believe this visitor from a balloon drops down and it's like, hey, I'm here to see your dad. oh, wait, your dad's not here, he's dead. Well, we gotta get the fuck off this planet. Let's go to Io. Okay, we're gonna do this. Weird stare, weird stare, weird stare. Have sex one time. Oh, I'm having your baby. I'm not going to Io.
That is the perfect summary of this shit movie. I mean, that was more entertaining than this movie by far. Because she ends up staying on the planet.
On the fucking planet!
And she has his dying. Baby.
Why? It's why? Stupid. As a mother. Okay, as a mother. I am not fucking staying on a planet. Like, I'm now carrying child. I'm with child. And I think she knew that.
Mm. Somehow, right? In her weird ass way, she knew.
She's schizo. Anyway, I think she, or at least she was hoping she was with child, okay? Okay?
Right, yeah.
If you're hoping you're with child. The planet is literally rendered toxic. Mm-hmm. Like, you can only survive with a helmet off that doesn't have an oxygen tank in certain parts. And it's slowly encroaching on those parts.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck are you going to bring life into a toxic, literal, not, you know, like, that we're being, as Caden says, literally, literally toxic. This is not, metaphorically speaking, toxic relationship, toxic household. It's like, for real, you can't breathe the fucking air. Why? On God's green earth, which is no longer green, by the way, are you going to make it a point to get your schizophrenic ass pregnant and then not go to the better place?
It was awful.
At that point, I was like, what the fuck? What the? Poor John, he was probably like, I'm really trying to watch a movie here. Because Jenny and I are like, are you fucking kidding me? And getting up and getting cookies. We're like, fuck, what the fuck?
It was a waste of 90 minutes, for sure.
It was
sure.
A waste of 90 minutes that I just wasted, like, 10 minutes of your life telling you how crap
Yeah,
was.
That's true. No. Well, let's talk about something that we did like, and
you liked a couple of different things,
actually. Yeah, we did. I want to talk about, what is it called? It is called Carmen Sandiego, and
yes.
It is an animated show on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
We watched all the episodes of this.
We did.
Which they had, what, 10?
Yeah, it was a small amount. We were both kind of a little going, what? It was a small amount. Hang on, I can tell you.
Eight,
yep. I knew it was a small amount.
And they're like 20-ish, 25-ish minutes, like a standard cartoon. So it's a good quick binge. Uh-huh. And it's sort of like the origin story of Carmen Sandiego, which, you know.
And it's different than what you remember from Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
Right. And I loved it. Like, I thought the animation looked really good. I loved Gina Rodriguez as Carmen. I thought that her origin was really interesting and different. I liked the supporting cast and characters, just interesting characterizations. She gets to do a lot of cool things. It's globetrotting, of course. You get to see a bunch of different locales and cultures. It's just a fun adventure. Like, our boys didn't even, well, I think Caden.
No, Caden ended up getting into it. Yeah, like, he got it at first. He was like, what is this? And then when we told him, he was like, oh, this is really cool. He really got into it.
Ethan didn't end up getting into it, but I could see this being just sort of like easy prey for children because, like,
exactly.
it's good stuff. And,
Well, he ended up watching it on the way, because he, like, while we were at your house, he downloaded, like, the first few, he did have the iPad with him, so he watched some of the episodes on the way home from your house, too.
That's cool. I'm glad he liked it. I would definitely recommend it. It's obviously kid-friendly, but I think it's adult-friendly.
It definitely.
It's not gonna, make you bored out of your mind if your kids have this on, and you have to watch it with them.
And I just found out, like, this week, just a couple of days ago, actually, that there's actually a book, which it's in that, like, age range that they made the movie for or the show for, but it goes with the it's her backstory, but it's in book form and it goes with the show.
Oh, neat!
It's Who in the World is Carmen Sandiego, and it's actually free on if you have Kindle on the blah 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 blah. Read with free time unlimited. So if you have the, you know,
cool,
yeah.
I will say there are because she's raised as a thief, basically. Like that's what she's known. She goes to like literal like thief school. It's like Hogwarts for crooks, and as Ethan would say. And but she, they want her to cross a line that she won't cross. Mm-hmm. So she, I just really like the twist of that, like her being raised to be not evil, but just
found her. So she's right. Not. So who knows what she's actually supposed to be? But the people that run this school found her and raised her,
right?
And which doesn't give anything away, but.
And it's just interesting how she uses all of her training to steal from other thieves.
Yeah, she's now a thief that only steals from other thieves.
And then it's just cool. I just really,
it was really good.
This show a lot.
Well, apparently there's going to be like a whole series of these books. So it's good. Not just the one, because all the rest of them are pre-order. And it looks like one's a graphic novel and one is a choose-your-own-adventure.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's super cool.
Yeah, I like that idea. Oh, and it has one of the kids from Stranger Things also lends his voice to the sort of the tech support.
Yep.
Part.
Well, and like Gina Rodriguez is Jane from Jane the Virgin.
Right. So yeah,
they're supposed to be doing a live action Carmen Sandiego as well.
Yeah, that
where Gina Rodriguez is going to also play her.
That's cool. That's cool. I enjoy Carmen's look, especially in the show.
I do too.
Yeah, she's. I love the way they have her hair and underneath the hat, the trench coat. She just looks great.
She does. She really does.
Something else that we watch that is completely different from this.
And if this is what the one I think you're talking about, we actually got to like episode 3 or 4 of Carmen. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to bed and falling asleep. It's like, what time was it at that point? Like 1 maybe?
Yeah.
Or one-ish?
One-ish.
Yeah, so I was like, it's 1. I need to go to bed because Jenny had taken a nap earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So like Jenny was awake. Miranda was like crashing. And then Jenny turns on this. Is that what you were going to go with?
Yes.
Okay, so then Jenny turns this show on, and I may have not gone to bed till 3 a.m.
I'm trying to find the exact title of it.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact title.
Yeah, I think it's right here.
It's on Amazon.
Yeah.
Or it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. So I had seen some people online talking about this. I was like, what is this? So it's called Fire, the greatest party that never happened, and you've probably already seen this or have already heard about it, but it's the insane story, true story, a documentary style of this guy, Billy McFarlane, this con man who tries to throw this party or a huge luxury music festival on a private island in the Bahamas with the help of Ja Rule, of all people. And it is a complete shit show. And I don't... See, this is...
I remember this from, like, the whole, like, Instagram and people going... The one picture that they show, like, later in the documentary, the food.
Yeah.
I remember that. And Jenny was like... What? I don't remember this. I was like, I don't know why, but I remember that specific picture of people being pissed. Like, I vaguely knew of this, but I did not know to the extent that this went.
I was blown away, like, because I've been on Insta for a minute, so I'm like, how have
right,
I not heard about
new.
This? No.
Yeah.
And this, what was like, 2016, when this went down?
2016, 2017, something like that.
Something like that. It might have been 2017. Shit, I don't know. But so this story is
fascinating for me because...
Oh my god, it... Yeah.
This guy is such a... somehow manipulates these people into doing what he wants them to do, and they just do it.
Like, it, part of you through this whole documentary, and there's a separate documentary as well, but part of you through this whole documentary, you're kind of like, you're completely appalled by him, and you're like, you're a fucking douche, but at the same time, you're like, damn. Like, you kind of want to applaud him at the same time.
Yeah, like, it's impressive what he does.
Right. I mean, yoo-hoo, dude, Ja Rule. Like, you...
It's just so random.
I still... There are parts of this that we can talk about that I was like, what the actual... Like, Janine and I would, like, just stop.
We would.
And pause it, and we would just look at each other, and we'd be like... No words were coming out of either one of our mouths. We're like,
it's like, what are we watching? What is happening?
Did that really happen? It's like, it really happened is the thing.
Yes. It's just, and what gets me is that the idea that they had was a good idea, in my opinion.
Oh my god, if it had been executed, because we talked about this for like the rest of the night.
Yeah.
If it had been executed, that would have been like,
really
the
cool.
Biggest fucking thing ever. And it would have been talked about for years.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Not in the sense that it is currently being talked about. For
no. Years. No, definitely not. And that's what makes me wonder about him. It's like, did he, on any level, really want to pull it off? Or was he just in it for the scam? I cannot figure it out.
He was in it. And was in it hardcore. But I think someone gave him this idea, and it slowly just escalated into
out of control. Yeah.
And he didn't know what he was doing. And then he had these people, like, throwing money. Because, like, the one guy said, you know, we'd be almost out of money. And then, lo and behold, Billy, right?
Billy, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because we were having a hard time remembering this.
Yeah, we were. It was so weird.
Well, they kept calling by his last name the whole show. So... one guy was like, lo and behold, we'd be, like, almost out of money. And when I say almost out of money, you'd be, like, down just, like, a couple $1,000s. And out of nowhere, Billy's got, like, you know...
Here's another $1 million.
Yeah. You know, or $500,000 for us to, like, make this happen. And the fact that we're not talking about little money. We're talking about, like, they were almost out of money to try... And they hadn't even booked...
Any acts
at all. And they were almost out of money... And we're talking about they've already rolled through millions, and he's like, yeah, and we were almost out of money, and here he rolls in with $500,000. Like,
and what they're doing on the other end of that is they're selling on the website, they're selling all of these experiences that they in no way are prepared to give to anyone. So
I don't want to say packages, because they were truly, what they were selling was an experience.
Right.
And to some extent, I think that at one point he was selling a lie and he knew it,
right.
But he was trying to roll with it and cover it.
Yes. Yes.
Because when the whole, like, they were going to buy an island that was originally Pablo Escobar's island.
Right.
It is for sale or was for sale. I don't remember. It legitimately was.
Right.
Well, the sale fell through, didn't work out. Mm-hmm. They weren't very clear on that part. That was, like, one of the gray areas of the whole documentary. They were never clear. They just said it fell through, didn't happen.
Well, one of the reasons that I remember that they gave was that they went to that island to make a promo video for it to try to
sell
it.
And they did. They spent, like, the whole weekend with the pigs that
they had the models.
Know. Yeah. And, like, big name models.
But they weren't... I think they were expressly told that they couldn't say that this was Pablo Escobar's island. And then they fucking put it in the promo.
Well, yeah, it's, like, in big letters in the promo.
So I think that's what killed the deal. Which is, are you fucking stupid? Like, we just literally said you can't do this, and he just fucking did it anyway.
Well, Yeah, and I'm wondering if they were hoping, like, maybe we can get rid of it, because do you know how many people would buy a ticket because it was Pablo Escobar's island?
Even though that's horrible, because he did horrible things.
It is. He was a horrible person, but the amount of people that would buy a ticket because of that.
It's huge selling. But that island had no infrastructure. There was nothing there to support anything that he wanted to do there. And, I just don't think that it could have been done, even if they had done it right, not on that island. Now, where they ended up, they could have pulled that off if they had been in any way.
If they had scaled down some, because they said several times they simply didn't have the room.
Right.
And, on the island that they ended up on.
Right. And what gets me is that he hired all these people that knew what the fuck that they were doing. He had top-notch people. It wasn't just them not knowing what they're doing. He hired people that knew what to do, but then none of them could get through to him to make him realize that it could not happen. Mm-hmm. And they just kept saying, like, these are our issues, and this is how you fix it, and that wasn't going to work, and so he would just tell them to find another solution, and they would try to find another solution. They were trying to do their jobs.
Well, and a lot of these people that he had doing this, yes, they were knowledgeable, and yes, they could do the job, but the problem is they weren't actually ever hired to do it. They were actually hired because when he initially started, the Fire app was supposed to be a way for people, not like you or I, but, like, if you have enough money, you could log onto the app and you could find an actor, a musician. I even think it said, like, model. Yeah. It was, like, models, actresses. If you wanted to book them to come to your event, like, they come to you kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, essentially, and I've heard, you know, I have, like, friends that are, like, low-key actors. Like, that would be a cool thing. Mm-hmm. Like, even for, like, the, you know, smaller actors and actresses. That'd be super cool. And apparently it is something that's kind of needed. Everybody does everything through their phone, through apps.
Right.
Like, what an easier way than... because it was supposed to immediately, like, connect to your calendar and the act's calendar. And, like, it was super cool. Great idea there, too. But he pulled all the people off of working on that.
Right.
And then he also thought, in order to fund the app and to get the app booming and to get the apps, you know, and to show who they could book and get the name out there, let's do this festival and put on this festival.
Mm-hmm.
Great idea. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. But, like, he was hemorrhaging money from the Fire app, which is a separate entity, and hemorrhaging people and creative, time to focus on this that he had no business doing.
Yeah. I mean, like, literally, I could talk about this situation for hours. Like
we almost could have done an episode just on this.
I considered it. I really did.
Oh, I would have not turned you down.
No, it's just so weird. And then all of the people that ended up showing up for this shit show, and all the shit that they went through.
Yes, they let these people that bought tickets, which part of me didn't feel bad for them, because they're, like, rich kids that can afford this shit.
But
the other part of me felt really bad for them.
I mean, like, regardless...
nobody was swindled like that.
Right, regardless of who you are, whatever, they were still lied to, and they were still done wrong, no matter what. And...
but, like, there were some points, though, that part of me, okay, when they were, like, when they got off the plane and they were having to sit, and then they got a school bus picked them up instead of a... like, at what point do you look and say, no?
Yeah, I think that they were all just in shock, really. Plus, it had been hyped so well, so perfectly on social media. It was all just a smokescreen. And they didn't know. Like, they just didn't know, and they didn't really have any other choice.
Hurricane evacuees get better food and lodging than what these people showed up. And they paid, like, thousands of dollars for this, like, on-the-beach villa experience.
Just,
which, again, the little things, the pop-ups they were doing, they were cool, but they were too close together, too many of them, they leaked, they weren't done.
They were legit FEMA tents.
They were, they truly were. But if done right, you know, like, because honestly, I was kind of thinking to myself that people, like, live in that kind of, like, celebrities live in that kind of shit at Bonnaroo and eat it up.
Right, right, yeah.
Or,
yeah,
like, you're right, Coachella, you're right, and eat it up.
But if you had paid for the rustic version, then that's fine. But if right. you had paid for the luxury version, you were fucked.
And they were selling houses.
Yeah.
That they didn't even
they
have.
Didn't have. Yeah.
It was very... At the end, who I horribly felt the worst for were the people from this island mm-hmm. that had been promised work. And, like, for them, yeah, they did well working. Because a lot of the people on these islands, they have, like, legit labor skills. Mm-hmm. Like, the one lady, she's a cook. Mm-hmm. And she was a damn good cook. The problem is, yeah, you see pictures of the food that they produce. She did not want to produce that, but she didn't have an option. She wasn't given money. She wasn't given time. She wasn't given...
Like, she didn't know anything.
Well, no, she's like, I have the ability to cook really awesome food, but, like, you're coming to me and you're giving me product and saying, well, I need to feed them right now, so... Mm-hmm.
It was just amazing.
How much of her life savings did she say she spent because of the... When all this was said and done, there are all these people on the island that never got paid.
And they worked their asses off trying to pull
for
it off.
For, like, months.
Months. Yeah.
So these people turned down other jobs and, like, couldn't feed their families because they thought, well, if I just stick with it, he's promised, like, this is good money. This is right. good money.
She, so, I think, said she lost $50,000, which I think...
She took $50,000 of her own personal savings that she was going to use to expand her business and to retire eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And paid the people that worked for her mm-hmm. that he was supposed to pay because right. she said they have families and it's not right.
Right. And she
I was crying.
She
that,
was like, so, like, real and raw in that documentary. She said, like, it upsets me to think about this and to talk about it. And
she's like, I don't like to talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
I don't talk about it.
I don't blame her. You know, and then amazingly, there's this second documentary about this exact same thing on Hulu, which is, it has a different flavor. And actually has an interview with Billy McFarland.
It's a different side of things. So, mm-hmm. like, everybody they interviewed in the one that Jenny and I watched together, I didn't fall asleep because the other one sucked. I fell asleep because it was 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that we watched together, they interviewed, like, the people that worked for him at the fire company, like, at the app.
Mm-hmm.
And then people he hired on the island. They talked to several of the island people. And then that one, I started watching and I was, like, trying really hard to keep my eyes open. I was like, because they put him on screen with a camera and with a room with a mic. And I was like, oh, fuck, they're interviewing him. Yeah. Yeah. I got really excited for a second.
And he was just a liar. I mean, just a fucking liar. Oh, all right. So let's move on because I will never shut up if we don't.
I will never shut up. But can we just, like, address the one
The issue? One thing, yeah.
Okay. The one thing that you know exactly what I'm talking
about.
I do, about.
Yes.
This guy, and I felt bad for this guy, the fact that he was willing to admit this,
yes,
right?
It was amazing.
When Billy called him because they were hemorrhaging so much money and shit was so bad and says, I'm going to, and at first I thought he was being metaphorical. And then as he continues the story, you realize he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy's like, hey, and I forget the poor guy's name.
Yeah, I forget it too. Yeah.
I felt really bad for him and all this too.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, I'm going to need you to go down to so-and-so's office and suck his dick. And, you know, we say that a lot in the world, like, you know. Well, I live with a husband that works for military that, you know, he's like, well, I guess so-and-so sucking so-and-so. You know, it's like a metaphor for, like, kissing ass and, like, that kind
of
thing.
So they had a bunch of their stuff was, oh, hi, puppies. A bunch of their stuff was caught up in customs, and they didn't have the money to get them out of customs, but they needed the stuff.
It was like something, it was like water.
Yeah.
Bottled water.
And so he tells the guy to go and talk to the customs guy and to suck him off if necessary.
I'm going to need you to suck his dick. And at first I'm thinking, like, oh, he's being funny, as in, like, go kiss his ass, go suck his dick, you know, make him feel pretty. No, he legitimately was telling this guy, and this guy said, I don't know why. He's like, but Billy, he's like, I would do so much for Billy because I thought that, basically saying he thought he was, like, a good person and he really had just, like, caught a hard break and shit, you know, was going wrong. He said, I legitimately was taking a shower and getting into my car to go down and physically suck this guy's dick.
Right. And thank God he didn't have to. I mean, can you imagine if he had?
Well, there's a whole bunch of other implications that go into, like, bribery. And
yeah, definitely. It was just amazing. And I think what was also amazing about that moment is it felt like he didn't even know he was going to admit that. And then he ended up admitting it. And then he was
and
like...
And you could see, like, on his face that he didn't want to admit that. But the realisticness of admitting just what this guy convinced people to do.
Yeah.
And just... to the depths that people were willing to go because of what he had convinced them needed to be done.
So, I mean, just watch this. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, told you everything,
like,
but yeah,
half of the shit that was in that.
You just need to see it and tweet us. Seriously, we'll tell you our stuff later. But like, we really want to talk. Like, I will never, ever, ever, ever get tired of talking about this. So
no, and I'm gonna like actually go watch the other one that has all the issues with Billy.
Yeah, do that. Oh my god! All right, here's another one that, I mean, I just feel like Netflix is on fire with their fucking content right now. It's just to me, and they've had great stuff for years, but. There's just a run of stuff right now that is just killing it.
Right.
And there's this show called You.
Which, actually, quickly, I'll explain, it is not a Netflix original.
Original, right.
So the way Netflix originals work, if Netflix buys the rights... from another entity. So all of season one was produced and done by Lifetime. I actually watched it when it came on Lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all done by Lifetime. And that's why one of the guys that's like, I'll have to share it again. I shared it on my, like, my personal page or something. The guy, Josh, whatever his name is, the comedian on Facebook, that he was like, oh my God, like, Lifetime couldn't, there's no way they did, like, he truly didn't know it was on Lifetime first, so he cracks a joke that's hysterical that kind of, like, goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Lifetime did season one, and actually, before season one even got into, like, a couple of episodes, they went ahead and ordered season two.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, hot damn, let's do this. Somewhere along the way, Netflix was like, hey, we want that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Netflix has already ordered that there will be a second and a third season. So, because they bought the rights and the entity itself from Lifetime, it is now a Netflix original. Even though they didn't do season one at all.
Gotcha.
So, that's how that works.
So, this show is...
fucking bonkers and amazeballs.
Yes.
And
that
book is really fucking awesome, by the way.
Accurate. It stars Penn Badgley, which I think is a fascinating like casting choice as well, because people might know him from like Gossip Girl,
yep.
Or like some others like teen type movies. Mm-hmm. But he's very attractive.
Yes.
He has an amazing voice, and.
He has a soothing... He's been in, like, all kinds of stuff. Gossip Girl, John Tucker Must Die.
Yes, John
Tucker. He's just got that Love voice that and that, like, look.
Yeah, he's an interesting choice for this role because this movie is about a stalker. Or the show is about a stalker.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems like a very normal person. He has a... quiet job in a bookstore. He restores old books.
Super charming. He lives like in a modest apartment. I mean, it's a little crappy, but let's be honest. He's a bookstore manager. Like, but he lives like he doesn't live above his means. He doesn't live flashy.
He's
you
just
know,
quiet, mild mannered, and polite, and also crazy as fuck.
Yes.
And gets obsessed with a girl that he meets at the bookstore and just worms his way into her life through social media. And the way he does that is fascinating. He completely just stalks her openly.
He gets her phone eventually. I don't want to give everything away on this show.
Which, her name is Beck.
Her name is Beck, yeah.
Played by Elizabeth Lail. She was she's been in several different things, too. She was on Dead of Summer that, it's not ABC Family anymore. Whatever their name is now.
Freeform?
Yeah, they will always be ABC Family.
Yeah.
She was on there, and actually she turned out to be the bad guy on there. Mm-hmm. She was great. But her name, she goes by Beck.
So, and this just, like I said, I don't want to spoil this because there's so much here, but...
Like, I guess we should hit some of the high points.
Yeah, like, it leads to murder. I mean, there's murder here, there's gore here, there's comedy. Like, the humor in this is so quirky and weird and perfect.
Right.
In this, because... The things that he's doing objectively are terrible, but you still kind of root for him?
We talked about this when I was at your house, and I was like, obviously you know that you're not supposed to like him because he's a stalker and he's creepy.
Yeah.
But he doesn't present as creepy, and you find yourself at one point, like, well, he doesn't to her. Like, well, not initially.
Right,
like,
right.
He doesn't present himself as creepy in public, in the general eye. And you find yourself almost rooting for him.
You do.
Like, when he's after Beck and he's interested in her, especially because of the shitty boyfriend she has.
Right.
Like, don't get me wrong. Her friends are narcissistic and egotistical. And so is her boyfriend, and he's just an asshole, and he's a complete jerk. And so you do. You find yourself being like, come on, Joe, get the girl. And then at the same time, you're like, but he's a fucking stalker!
Because he totally manipulates their whole situation.
Right. He makes sure that they meet. And
right.
He makes sure that he is ingrained in... The only problem I did have, and I mentioned this to you, at the one point, because, like, why the fuck does she have no curtains, by the way?
Anyway,
so she lives in this, like, it's part of her, she gets it for being a TA, right?
Right.
For housing?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. She's a college student.
She gets her housing for being a TA, and so she lives in, like, a nicer little, like, brownstone sort of deal, and she has, like, no fucking curtains on the window.
So yeah, she just fucks guys, like, in front of the window.
Right, like, she does her boyfriend, like, right there on the couch, and you can see it plain as day from the street. So, Joe's hanging out across the street and, like, watches this whole ordeal. Mm-hmm. The thing is, Joe is, like, very obviously just standing there. Like, anybody walking by can see he's just standing there looking in the window.
And, like, he jerks it, too.
Yeah, I remember, because he has to, like, hide it. From
yeah,
the whole thing. It's
yeah.
Like, help me, dear.
Yeah.
So, like, at one point, it doesn't work out with the boyfriend, so she finishes herself off. So, like, Joe's standing outside the window, like, jerking herself off.
Yeah.
Or, like, getting herself off.
Yeah. It just... Yeah.
In broad... Well, it's not daylight, but, like, he's just behind
on the
this,
street.
Like, on the street.
Yeah.
Like, there are some things to this that I'm like, how the fuck did Joe never manage to get caught?
Yeah, that's...
And, like, that's the other thing, is he gets himself out of everything.
He's super intelligent. He can read the situation and adapt to any situation.
Yes.
And find a little way to just make himself look good. And he just continues to do it over and over again. It's amazing. Amazing
right.
to watch.
And by the way, how... This is like... CW ABC Family alum smorgasbord.
Yep.
Shay Mitchell, who plays Peach, who I loved from Pretty Little Liars.
She's real good in this, too.
She is, but, like, I hated her.
I hated her.
The thing is, he's not wrong about everybody that he defends her from through this series. Like, everybody Joe feels like is a problem and that Beck needs to be saved from, she actually does.
And also, I never get his fascination with Beck, because she's not that great to me. I'm just like, really?
This
no,
is the
she's one of those, like, I don't know why people think I'm pretty. I'm not that pretty. And I'm
she's
not talented.
I mean, she's just, I don't know. She just, ugh.
I liked her so much on Dead of Summer. That, and she was, she played Anna on Once Upon a Time when mm-hmm. they did Anna, when they introduced Frozen mm-hmm. to Once Upon a Time. So she can. She's cute.
She's
not
cute.
Like, she's not gorgeous. Does that make sense? Does that sound rude?
Oh, no. She's attractive, but, yeah,
right,
she's not
cute.
The most beautiful thing.
Right.
Know?
But she does the thing that pisses me off that I talked about earlier in romance novels, where she's like, and then she has these moments where, like, she knows she's pretty, and
right.
so she's, like, doing the whole, like, thing. And I know that's her character, and that's what the character's to do. Mm-hmm. If you've read the book, like, it's spot on. But it's, like, fucking annoying. Like, it makes
oh,
you not
is.
Like her.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you root for Joe, because you want Joe to be happy.
Right.
Like, Joe is a good guy. Like, Joe defends the neighbor kid who's in a shitty, for real, toxic. Hey,
yeah.
We're pulling everything together tonight.
Yeah,
like,
we are.
The kid next door lives in a horrible, toxic environment, and he's, like, the best thing that kid has in his life. Like, he's
mm-hmm.
perfect to him. He's a good friend to what's-his-name that works at the bookstore
mm-hmm.
with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so you find yourself rooting for this, like, for all intents and purposes, really horrible, twisted, jacked-up guy.
Yeah, because you get
and
to
now
see...
Now makes me think why people, like, serial killers that, from years past, like, when they did what they did,
mm-hmm.
they were charming and charismatic,
mm-hmm.
and they were nice-looking
mm-hmm.
and normal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes me understand now why they were able to accomplish the shit that they were.
Yeah, it's... And you get to see him do these horrific things that you're just... You can't, like, reconcile the parts of Joe that you really like. Because something else that's clever that this show does is that he narrates it. So you get him. You know, you
there
get...
There is a couple of episodes where she
yeah,
narrates.
Yeah, that's true. Her. Yeah, those are...
But it is mainly just Joe narrating.
And he's very funny, you know, and he's clever. And he's, you know, he's just totally enamored of this girl. But then, so you feel, like, really endeared towards him, and then you
Damn.
See him do these horrible things, and you're like, shit, Joe.
Well, and then you learn about his past.
Right. Yes.
And you're like, oh.
Yeah. And then it's so interesting that the way that they weave his past into the whole series.
Right.
And it will lead to the second season. His past is going to be brought forward. So... I'm really interested to see what they do with the next season.
Well, they shared, who would be the new...
Beck.
Essentially, who would be the new Beck. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, not to give anything away, but, like, if you've watched it, and I think most all of our friends and people will watch it, but they've an ex of his is going to come back
yeah.
into the picture.
So
and she's going to be a regular, from what they have said. Now the decision, the ending is different than the book ending.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to, like, spoil it.
Yeah, let's not spoil that.
I don't want to spoil it, but a person that pops up
mm-hmm.
is, in like, not done for in the book.
Oh,
like,
gotcha.
No,
gotcha.
No.
Mm-mm. All right.
The girl, Victoria Pedaretti from, I think I say her name right. From Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Going to join them.
Yeah.
And she's going to play Joe's new love interest named Quinn.
Nice. I like her a lot.
Two other cast members are going to be James Sully of Heathers, who will play her name is Love Quinn.
Oh.
It is Joe's love interest, but her name is Love Quinn.
Nice.
So what's up with the Beck and the Love? So they're different. And he likes that. He likes quirky.
Yeah, he does.
So James Sully will play Love's brother, whose name is 40. And then Jenna Ortega from Jane the Virgin will have a part in it as well. They haven't said exactly what her part is. They just keep calling her all the articles I read just say she's going to play some sort of like cunning teenager part.
Hmm. All right.
So I mean, they've shaped it up to be, and I don't know honestly if these are the same plans that Lifetime. I would assume these are the same plans that Lifetime had because Lifetime did season one. You know, they're the ones that made the decisions for season one. But I still don't hate Joe.
I don't. It's.
I know I should hate Joe.
It feels so weird to say that, but
there
like,
are also some bad things that he did. That those people, no one deserves death. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
Although sometimes I wish I'm a vigilante too.
Right.
But he made things happen or put events into place that, like, that person was not a good person.
Right.
You
felt
horrible.
Like they deserved it.
Like, right. Yeah. So part of you is like, they totally deserved it.
Right. It's just, it's really weird. The things that it makes you think about and the places that it takes you. I wasn't expecting it.
I wasn't either.
So great.
It's fantastic. I do highly recommend if you're a reader to read the book. But since they do make some changes, you don't have to read the book to watch the show, but it is still a really good book. And it's the same name. It's just called You.
I might do that. So, I want to know the alternate ending. What was the other one we wanted to mention? Kimmy Schmidt.
We both watched Kimmy Schmidt, but not together.
Right. And this was the final season.
Final.
Because it kind of did a thing where they dropped the first set of episodes.
And I think we've already talked about that.
Right.
And I think we actually did, like, talk about that.
We did. And so this was kind of like the back half or the last half of the last season.
Right.
So it picks right back up from where they left off. And I love this show. It's so fucking weird and so fucking funny and different and strange and every other quirky adjective I can come up with. There's not another show like this.
There's not.
I will miss this show, and we could talk about it, but, like, the finale was slightly disappointing to me, but it makes sense in the scheme of the show. Like,
yes.
I really don't know how they could have ended a show. Like,
a
show like this. So they just kind of went with the most ridiculous fucking thing they could think of.
But there were some episodes where I was sitting there and I was not bored, but I was like, I'm not feeling this one. Like, this is...
There were maybe two that were a little bit off for me, but for the most part, I really did like it. And there was a fucking joke on there that slayed me. And I've like... not stopped thinking about it since because it was fucking funny. Kimmy is dating a guy only for his parents because Kimmy.
My God, yes.
She starred for the parental part that she missed and she had kind of crappy parents and so this dude's parents are really cool and she wants to hang out with them. She wants to do stuff.
They want to hang out with her because
right.
he doesn't spend time with them like that anymore.
He lives with them but he, you know, he's a dude and he doesn't want to hang out with his parents.
He's a grown adult.
Right. So she starts like seeing the parents behind his back. So she makes it seem like it's an affair with his parents, but in the Kimmy way that's really wholesome, but also like...
Yeah, because she's like, I looked it up on the internet. It's not a thing.
Yeah. And so she...
But we know this is a thing.
She's... So the joke that I loved was she's telling Jillian, the crazy old lady, all this, and she's like, I'm dating his parents, essentially, and then Jillian says, we used to call that a devil's four-way, and I just thought that was so fucking funny. And I don't know why it just got me. But I also love Titus.
Or that, like, alternate opening.
Yes.
That was funny.
My favorite episode is they do, okay, you know that movie
from the 90s called Sliding Doors, where it's like the point of the movie is like it shows a life you would have had if you had done this one thing or if you had done this other thing.
Right.
So it's like alternate realities, basically, stemming from one decision or one thing that happened to you. So it's like, what if Kimmy did not get abducted and taken to the bunker?
Right.
So it was...
Which I thought it was cool that she still would have met Titus.
Right. So they so they do the Titus tie-in, and it was a really clever episode. I liked it a lot.
I had a love-hate one with that, because there were parts of it that was just super cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, which this show is cheesy.
It is.
Like, it was just hitting some moments where I was like... Like, the way they had her act as, like, if Kimmy never got into the van, that, like, I don't know.
Yeah, she wasn't extremely...
She was really too much for me. She was, like, extra, extra.
They had some great guest stars. John Bernthal from Punisher.
Oh, that was hysterical.
Fucking...
And he even... says stuff. He was like, was in the, like, he says stuff like he was the Punisher.
Yeah.
When he's Titus, telling Titus, like, who he is.
Yeah.
Titus thinks he's into him.
Yeah, and Titus had a guest spot as Daredevil's doorman in his universe, so there was a little bit of a, like, wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yeah.
For that. It's so funny, and John is just so God, he's so hot, and, like...
He is.
Speaking
of nice looking, Zachary Quinto.
Zachary Quinto is in this. Oh, so, so funny. Who else was... Greg Kinnear.
Greg Kinnear. Oh, Greg Kinnear was great. Busy Phillips,
yeah. I love her character.
She's been on before.
Yeah.
And then, apparently, the guy that is, like, the TV host...
Oh,
he's been on different stuff before.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know him very well, though. Robert Hubble,
I think.
Yeah, he was there. I didn't like him. He was annoying.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh, and they did this whole thing with the puppets. That was funny as shit.
Oh, my God. Like, totally caught me off guard. I was like, did I just fucking see what I thought I saw?
Because
like, I'm a little disturbed right now.
Because one of the things I love about this show is that they try to take, like, social issues and, like, just fuck them all up and just turn them into comedy. So, like, the spin of this is that Titus was auditioning for, like, a show that had a puppet. And so the puppet...
Which is actually... carryover.
Right, from...
Remember, he did have the inner...
Right. Yeah. So, the puppet propositions him inappropriately.
Yes, the puppet, not the puppet.
The puppet
which
does.
Which, essentially, yes, it's the puppet master, but it's not the puppet master, it's the puppet.
Right, so...
We just need to reiterate that.
It shows him, the puppet, trying to get Titus to touch his felt penis.
Oh my God.
And then he pulls his pants out and
there's one right there.
Titus touches it. Oh, I was losing it. Because it's so, like, it's fucked up and, like, also stupid.
I didn't expect there to be a puppet penis.
Oh my God, that's so good.
I was like, oh my God.
It's just what makes that show that show. They gave him the ending that they could. Not the best for me, but what did you think about the ending?
It wasn't the best because I felt like they could have drug it out a little bit longer.
Me too, I want more.
But at the same time, every person's future and every aspect is... It's weird, like, if they made more, it's there. Mm-hmm. You can do more. Mm-hmm. But they took care of everyone.
I felt like they really wanted to give you, a fan-friendly ending.
But everybody was taken care of in such a good way that you were kind of like, everybody did well?
Right. But that makes sense. It makes sense what they did. But I'm gonna miss that show. It's just its own little.
It was. I remember when it first came out. I actually turned it on one night when I couldn't sleep. When season one came out, I couldn't sleep, and I was like mopping and cleaning, and I was like, "Oh, this looks like it was gonna be really funny." It just came out yesterday. Let's try it. And then like Jerry wakes up to get ready to go to work, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, almost done.
Yeah, it's so watchable.
Finish Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, you get like, so addicted to it.
Well, and I said Kimmy Schmidt, and I was like half asleep, and he was like, what? I'm like, I promise, I said Schmidt. That's what I meant.
Yeah. I love how it's his own universe, too. You know, like, the end jokes and stuff, like, I don't know, it's just...
The cat's jokes were cracking.
Yes, oh my god.
So you mean to tell me this whole time that cats, anybody can jump up on
yes.
Nobody knows what anybody's talking about. Anyway. I like Broadway, and everybody's like, we should go see Cats, and I'm like, we should not. Oh, Bobby Moynihan came back as Fran Dawson.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Felt like there was somebody. Oh, that robot too. The drunk robot. That shit was funny.
Oh my god! Where she's like, "Sup, oh, girl? White girl." Yeah. And then when she's like, "Why do you always talk to me like that?" I did feel bad when she realized, like, because she's just so naive. Like we all knew that. That's mm-hmm. what the internet does. Mm-hmm. When she realized that GizTube, essentially, they data mine.
Yeah.
And that's their whole job is to data mine and to be, as I wink wink, I think I joked about it on here once, like my FBI agent's been real good to me. He's given me some good Facebook ads and I've spent some money.
Yeah.
So like, that's essentially who they are. They're the ones that make sure that those ads pop up.
Right. To target you.
Hey, let's face it. If I was as smart as that kid, Zach, that started YouTube and did
right,
that
right.
and sell it for millions of dollars, dude, I'd do it too.
Yeah.
I'd totally do it.
You know. Those ads work on me too, don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever get your items? Because we both fell prey to Facebook.
Yeah, I did well in not, or I did order the teeth whitening system that was bullshit.
Maybe we should, you know what? Maybe we should buy stuff from Facebook ads and do a
review.
Your review of our shit.
That's a whole nother podcast, friend.
Well, that's fine.
And also, I would need a lot of money.
Well, I don't mean like all the time, but like every now and then we'll buy something and be like, how'd it work? Right now I'm pretty mad.
That's not a bad idea.
That you convinced me to buy.
I didn't end up buying any leggings, although I do.
You didn't end up buying them, but you kept talking about them so much that then these, and then because I have arthritis, like these compression leggings popped up in my feed, and I was like, I really fucking need those. So I ordered them, and they're still not fucking here.
Oh, yeah, they probably come from China.
Probably.
Yeah, everything does. Oh.
Update right. on those when they arrive.
All right. Yeah. Were there any other that we watched, we both watched that we wanted to talk about before we could do our quick hits? Have you watched any of The Crown?
I'm sorry. I was yawning. I was trying to yawn during podcast.
It is like 1:20 in the morning at this point.
Oh my god, is it really? Okay. Yeah. I originally watched a few episodes of this first season, and I really dug it. Like, it hit the, you know, because I don't have any Downton Abbey, and I know Downton mm-hmm. Abbey wasn't, like, the queen or anything, mm-hmm. but, like, it hit all the markers for the Downton Abbey feeling that I'm missing. And something came out, and I put it off.
Basically. Yeah. So this, The Crown's been out for a little bit, so it's not new, but for some reason, John put it on, and he wanted to watch something different, and I got sucked into it.
Really good.
It is, and it's Matt Smith is in it, and he's a real dickhead, so I'm enjoying that, and,
Well, and the people change because they're growing older.
Yes.
So it's the same people, because I had somebody say, well, how could they change the queen? And I'm like, because she's supposed to be older now.
Mm-hmm. So that's that's worth a watch. I mean, it's funny because like I told him, the things that they focus on, they seem really like trivial, like, and they seem to like dramatize like these simple little decisions. But for the monarchy or whatever they're trying to do, it's not that simple.
What you and I would consider a simple decision or just figure it out is not.
They have to be like hyper, like above board about every single move that they make. So they mine all this drama with these little decisions. It's essentially it's a family drama. So it's interesting.
Well, I mean, they pay attention to every little thing that they do. For example, when Harry and Meghan got married, she had a blog with thousands of followers where she talked like fashion and makeup and that she's had for years, even before she became a big actress. But she was made to quit her blog. She is no longer allowed to run her own Instagram. None of that. That's why you will never see, like, if someone's like, oh my god, I'm following Prince William and William's following me. No, he's not. They're not allowed to have Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or, they're not allowed to.
Because they can't be in control of their own image.
Someone speaks for them at all times. Yeah. But you do see them way more out in the public than you'll ever see, like, our people. Because they do go out and, like, shake hands and kiss babies like that. But they're not allowed this, like, going on Twitter and, you know. And who's to say that they don't have a private one where they just read things? Or maybe they're not allowed to have one themselves.
Well, that makes sense.
They're not allowed to have an Instagram as themselves. She was made to close hers. So that's like you're saying, like, making small decisions, like something as little as like, I'm going to take a picture of the food I'm eating. They can't do that.
Something else that I enjoyed about this is the historical parts of it. Like, I learned, like, I never really thought, like, how did she become queen? Like, how in the lineage, how did that happen? And I didn't realize that her uncle was initially the king, and he abdicated the throne, and that's how her father became king, and then he died, and she was his firstborn. So, I'm like, I had no idea that that's how
that
all happened.
I think she's just been king. She's just been queen for so long. I mean, she's been queen for longer than we've been born, if I remember correctly.
Hell yeah. A lot longer.
So, I'm telling you, if I age like that lady, I'm going to be happy.
Yeah. So, anyway, what else did you have that you wanted to talk about?
I only had one other that actually season 3 comes out Friday. I talked about it initially when I found it. It is a Netflix original, but it's based off of a... It's a remake of a Spanish television show. And it is, like, the family is from Cuba. But it's by the same name. So from 1975 to 1984, there was a show called One Day at a Time. And they basically, Netflix, like, came in and redid it and updated it. And I thought I had watched season 2, and I guess I didn't. But she is a single mom in a Cuban-American family. She's an Army veteran, single mom. And so now she's a nurse. So she's raising her two children, and her mom lives with her. And then the guy that lives across the hall that's like her best friend, which you get way more of the backstory and how they all got to meet each other in season 2. But his name is Schneider, and Schneider is a Canadian who has come here. He's never becoming a citizen, but like he's Canadian and his dad owns the building essentially. And so that's how they all know each other. But it deals with a lot of issues, because at one point they talk about like deportation, and then the oldest daughter has decided that she is gay, and she comes out, and her dad is like, no daughter of mine is going to be gay, nor child of mine is going to be gay. And so that's, you know, season 2 is a lot about like their relationship and her, you know, now that she's realized she's gay. She has a girlfriend. And she's trying to figure that out. And the grandmother who actually came over here from Cuba, she has a green card. She's here legally. She never actually became an American citizen. So her and Schneider decide together that he is the Canadian and her is the Cuban. They're going to become American citizens and they study. And he actually also learned Spanish because, you know, they've become his family. They make fun of him a lot, and like the daughter's like, Elena's like, you're not family, like, but she's being a butthead, like they really do consider him family. And this season was just like really emotional. You know, she's got a girlfriend and she's navigating that, and Schneider and Lydia are becoming U.S. citizens, and Lydia is the grandmother of the whole bunch, and she's kind of sort of dating the doctor that Penelope works for. But she is still in love with and will always be in love with Penelope's father, essentially. And so she has to go to the doctor and say, like, you're a good friend, but my heart has always been his. And, like, I just don't know that I could ever give it to somebody else. So, like, it's really funny. There's, like, a lot of one-liners. It is one of those, like, old school, like, I think they have a live audience. It's not a laugh track, but I think when they record, they have an audience. So you get, like, the laugh. And, like, because some of them, like, one the other day, I wish I had written down the joke that was cracked, but there was something going on between Schneider and Elena, and there's a joke that's cracked, and I know it's not a laugh track because you hear some guy go, ha 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 ha! Like, the old guy, like, really would.
So that's interesting they have a live audience.
Right. I like those. Well, you know, Big Bang Theory does live audience.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's I don't know. It hits a lot of things that are real. And a lot of times I don't like watching those in my television show because I go to TV and I go to books and movies to escape a lot of the things that we deal with daily. But it's just done in such a way in this that, like, one, it gives you a different viewpoint, kind of, because I'm not Cuban, I'm not from another country, you know, so it's brought up some different viewpoints, it's funny, it's like one of those wholesome, like, family, like, for the most part. Caden sat in here and watched several episodes with me the other day. Now, they do talk about sex and stuff, so, like, at certain points, I would pause it, and then Penelope has a boyfriend, or is also kind of dating. And I'm trying to remember that guy's name now. He's one of those, like, you know him when you see him. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's so hot. But it's fantastic. And awesome. They deal with the everyday stresses of just being a family, too.
All right. All right. So, I've been just, like, killing it on Netflix. So, I've watched, like, a fucking shit ton of Netflix. I mean, like, we could literally do, like, 2 more hours. But it is 1:30 in the morning right now. So,
I did not realize it, but this is it, yes.
Yeah, you're going to have a rough day tomorrow. Real quick, I just want to mention the Ted Bundy documentary. I watched that. It's awesome. I would recommend Friends from College, season 2. Just came out recently, and that I liked it the second season because I feel like the characters are a little bit more likable this time around, and Fred Savage is fucking awesome.
I love Fred Savage.
I'm a huge mark for him, and he's so, so good in this. Also, Punisher season 2 recently came out. I'm like 2 or 3 episodes into that. And also, something that I think is very innovative and different and trippy as fuck. It is a Black Mirror special. It is called Bandersnatch. And it is a true choose-your-own-adventure show. And it will literally give you time to pick what happens next in the story. It is seamlessly edited. Once you make your decision, it just flawlessly goes into that scenario, and then you get to choose all these different endings, and then if you choose wrong, it'll loop you back, and you get to choose the other one.
There's, like, six different scenarios that can play out, giving you ultimately, like, six different endings, right?
Four, six. And you could just keep going and go through it, which is what I did.
Right.
Like, I did every single, like, combination, and I just loved it. Like, I loved it. I thought it was really fun, really well acted, really fucked up, and it's perfect Black Mirror, like perfect. It's fun. Like,
and well, and what I haven't watched it yet, but what I know of Black Mirror and everything is people are like, oh, well, I haven't watched any of the seasons. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. This is a standalone.
And the seasons you don't even have to watch. Like, those are in separate anthology kind of deal.
Right. You don't have to know anything about anything other than this.
Don't lose your remote. You're gonna need.
Yeah, you need the remote because it's on a time or whatever. So if you don't make a decision, I think it makes it for you. But
I think I read that, and I think it like only goes through one
way. Yeah,
one way. Sense.
I think I did actually miss one decision one time because I wasn't paying attention for some reason. But yeah, that's just fun to do, and I want more of that. I would like more of those shows. Like I said, I have tons more stuff I can talk about, and maybe I'll push it to the next episode for our streams in 3 months when we get to record again.
No, it's not going to be 3 months.
Hopefully not. All right. So we're going to close this episode out the way we always do, and how's that, Miranda?
Nerd Eye Candy of the moment.
Woohoo! And mine, we've already talked about him, but his name is Joe.
No, shut the front door!
Did you choose him too?
Penn Badgley?
Yes!
Yes, shut the front door!
Our first one where we chose the same guy.
Hell yeah!
I'll allow it. I think we can allow it.
I think I created this segment, and I think this is our show. So I think if you allow it, I allow it.
All right. I mean, and it's something like so weird because I watch Gossip Girl.
I did not. Believe it or not, I did not ever watch Gossip Girl.
I watched it on Netflix. I didn't watch it when it came out. I watched it several years after. And, you know, he was great on that. But, like, I haven't seen him hardly in anything since then.
Right.
So I feel like he just came out of nowhere, you know, and just fucked everybody all up with this performance and the story and everything he did, just flawless. Just,
well,
amazing.
His acting was amazing. And then as his character, because honestly, I think he is hotter than, like, Joe. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So they had moments of they made Joe not as cute as Penn is, right? What sold it for me is, one, like I said earlier, you find yourself rooting for Joe, even though you know you're not supposed to. Like, all the way to the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're still rooting for Joe.
Even though you know horrible things.
Even though you know horrible things. And because you know horrible things, you're rooting for Joe to never get caught.
Right.
Like, truly you are.
Right.
So there's that. And the other thing is, like we said earlier, Joe took care of some horrible people in different manners.
But
you know what?
His attractiveness, too, is also just a little bit offbeat.
You know, yes!
He's not in your face hot. He's like low-key hot.
He's low-key, quirky.
Mm-hmm.
I like quirky. I like different. I like quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what sold it for me, though, it sold it. And I didn't talk about this earlier because he was my Nerd Eye Candy.
Mm-hmm.
There are people tweeting. There are girls tweeting at Penn saying, you know, you can stalk me anytime, or I'd let Joe can lock me in whatever room he wants to lock. I'm like, these girls are for real. So first off, honey, you probably need to seek help, okay?
Right, yeah.
Seek help. Like, it's okay if you like to be tied up during sex, but being locked in a room by a stalker is probably not. I'm just saying they can like that if they want to.
Well, you could also role play that, I guess, if you.
Right, I guess you could, but, like, there's some no-no lines here, girls, okay? But in that, Penn came and tweeted them back and was like, you know that's not healthy, right?
Yeah.
Like, a girl should never be treated... Like, he's responding to people saying, like, no, don't strive for Joe.
Yeah.
You don't want Joe.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why I'm in love with his character even more and then him as a person, because he's like, no, 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 no. That's not how women should be treated. Women do not deserve to be treated that way. Like,
which is the perfect response, and I'm super glad he did that. That's awesome.
It is. There's a whole, like, article and list, like, somebody compiled them where, like, he responds, and he's like, no, 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 no.
He responds to these thirst tweets.
He does, and they interviewed him about it, and he was like, I did not expect this. He's like, but I truly want people to understand that, like, well, it's a great show, and the book is phenomenal. I'm more than honored to play the role. That's not what you should be striving for in a relationship. Like, Joe is not a good relationship.
Like, so good.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right.
That, like, did it for me. That he's, like, actually coming back and being like, no. Like, stop. Listen. Because I think he can ask one of them. He's like, do you need help? Like,
yeah,
should I call
yeah.
the police? Like...
Call the police. Well, I can't believe in our 31st episode, we finally come up with the same Nerd Eye candy.
You know what? I like that. But since we're on our 31st episode, I wonder how we could make our 34th be my birthday episode. Because I'll be 34!
Well, shit, we'd have to do 3 more fucking podcasts in the next month. I don't see that working out for us.
Hey, as long as the 34 happens in that month, maybe, maybe, maybe.
That might be stretching it, but...
I'd be stretching it. But the fact that our 34th episode will be the same year that I turned 34, I'll accept it.
Okay, there we go. That's good enough.
I'll accept it.
All right.
We're doing a lot of accepting of things.
Yeah, tonight. We talked about some shit tonight.
We did.
We've been very businesslike, I think.
Murder, stalking, extortion.
Apocalypse and
deportation,
superheroes, and a little bit of everything. Underwear. Yeah.
The Lego Movie.
Being tied up during sex.
I don't know what people are into. I'm just saying, like, I feel like it would be healthier for people to be into that than to be wanted to be locked in a glass room and stalked.
Well, you never know people's kinks.
I mean, kind of like earlier in the book, you do you, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I guess if you're not hurting anybody else. But once again, Joe was hurting people.
Yeah.
If you're not hurting anybody else, then who am I to tell you that you're wrong? Just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's wrong.
All right. So you can follow us on Twitter at Geek and Sassy, Instagram at Geek and Sassy. I am Jenny Cruz 2814, and you are Mom's a Nerd on Twitter and Instagram as well.
And Facebook.
And Facebook. That's right. We have Facebook page, Geek and Sassy. There are other amazing shows on the Place to Be Nation pop feed, to include the Hard Traveling Fanboys. What else we got? We got Talk Pop.
Groove, Talking Pop.
Freak Out Drive-In.
Yeah.
DC Post Crisis Management.
Yep.
Which I will be on this month as well. And there's Looking Forward, Looking Back. There's...
I feel like we're forgetting some, and I don't want anybody to, like, take offense that we forgot you. It's just that it's 1:40 in the morning.
Right. Well, Andy has, like, 12 podcasts, so...
All the podcasts Andy does.
All of Andy's podcasts.
Go listen to them all. Andy's awesome.
We'll have a special Oscars pod with
which
Andy.
Which made me realize it should be about the time for me to put out Sassies from...
Yes.
It'd be about time for us to do the Sassies and me to put out ballots.
That's right.
Sassies.
Has it been a year since we've done this?
We did it at award show time, so yeah, it would be almost a year since the Sassies.
All right. I feel like that's our next show then, right?
It may be. We gotta look. It may be a couple more. So, I mean, go ahead and start sending nominations that you might want me to consider.
What else?
What else? Is that it?
So much. So the talking, Place to Be Nation in general, pop, wrestling, anything, there is just something for everyone. Mm-hmm. As it has been said before, there's a plethora and a veritable heaven.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I love you for that. Thank you for saying that.
But there's so much for everyone. All walks, genres, mindsets. Come on over.
And let's just hope that it's not another 2-3 months before we get to talk again.
It should not be.
Hopefully not.
No.
All right. Thank you for listening.
And you're welcome for talking.